much about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
I have the experience, the tools, and the resources I need. I have thought through and prepared myself for all issues. I smile and cultivate the smile inside myself. I can do a superb job. My smile says yes to my success.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
All good. Here we all are, together again.
Hello.
Oh, well, that's all we want. We all want the big one, yeah. Don't we?
My mommy says that if a woman is on her lady time, then do not touch her.
Sometimes a girl just wants to bust a nut, you know?
And now,
are you forgetting what Tecumseh said? Hey,
hey, I had forgotten that.
Our feature presentation.
Here's the weirdest sound.
I mean. What?
Strangest clips. Strangest sound. Where was half of that from?
Could you be more specific?
Positive attitude. That dude. Where was that from?
That I don't know. that was in the Wayback Files. Some sort of motivational speaker guy.
Your smile should tell your body that you're going to have a good day.
And you are your smile means you deserve your success.
That's crazy.
I don't know what it is. But look, trying to get the kids pumped up for a new day.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Full of potential and exciting times. Every day's a gift, you guys.
That's right. That's what you're known for.
It is what I'm known for.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I look forward to my daily affirmation that he sends via email when I wake up. It's the first thing I look for.
He sends you an email when you wake up?
Oh, you,
I don't get that.
You guys mock, by the way, but I feel like I am fairly in touch with how lucky every one of us is to wake up in the morning and be alive. You are already doing better than most people if you wake up at all, because most people are dead, okay? And then on top of that, if you can see and you can walk and you can hear and you can feed yourself.
You started with most people are dead?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, millions and millions and billions of people throughout the world have been born and already died. The fact that we're still alive, you know, kind of gives us a leg up on them. Like, you're doing better today than Benjamin Franklin. That's my point.
Good point.
Just as an example.
But I'm saying comparing yourself with dead people is no way to judge how you're doing.
What I'm saying is that you are already in the positive column.
Right.
When you woke up today, things were going great for you compared to lots of people who didn't wake up today. That's my only point is let's be grateful for the fact that we're still alive because you're not here for very much time. It's a blip, man, in the big picture.
Bean, what's going on?
What is going on?
I just...
Seriously, you can tell us. This is a safe place. You know what this isn't? A safe place.
You guys...
Come on, Bean. Tell us what's going on.
You guys brought up how positive I am, and I'm just saying you mock me, but the reality is that I am positive in terms of the fact that I appreciate how lucky we are to be alive. That's all.
Thanks, Bean.
Wow.
That's all I'm saying. Hey, listen, we got a big Kevin and Bean show planned. Don't base it on what you've heard so far, but I do want to start... Kevin, I know you hate the baseball.
I do.
And you're wrong. But right. Allie is with me that last night was one of the greatest sporting events in sports history. Right, Allie?
It was good. Absolutely.
It was great.
It was good.
It was a great first game of World Series for sure.
Now, you may have seen – I was dipping in and out of the game because I was also trying to catch up on some other things. But the amount of – do you know anything about the game last night, Kevin?
No.
The amount of crazy things that happened in last night's World Series game, you couldn't believe they all happened in one game. First of all right. On the first pitch of the game, the Royals have an inside-the-park home run.
Inside the park? Was there an error?
It was an error, but they didn't call it an error.
Oh.
I don't even think it was an error. I think the ball just hit the wall and just spun off on some sort of crazy angle is what it looked like to me.
No, I think they both went to call for the ball. Then he looked up and lost it. And then I think it hit off his leg or something, didn't it?
I don't know. I thought it hit the wall. But it was crazy because, yeah, so the left fielder and the center fielder were all, you know, bunched up in center field. And then the ball just spun off into left field. And it gave, what's his name, Alcides Escobar, who's so fast, by the way, gave him the opportunity to run the bases. So the first pitch of the game inside the park.
How many times does that happen in a season? Do you know? Inside the park home run? I mean, I can't imagine it's...
Very rarely.
Yeah.
Very, very rarely. It's the first time. It's first time it's happened in a World Series since 1929.
All right.
Wow.
So we've got 35 seconds of a great action. Go ahead.
That was first 35 seconds, though.
Right.
Good. You'll love this, Kevin. Right. In the fourth inning, the generator and the backup generator for Fox both took a crap. And they lost power. And they could not... broadcast the game.
The World Series?
Yeah.
Yes.
Joe Buck was talking about the show Grindr, like doing a throw to like, and coming up, we're going to tell and then it went like blue and then black.
Yep. So all over the country, I guess they scrambled to get local affiliates, just throw them on TV and just have them talk until we get it back. So the home viewer missed an at-bat. They finished the at-bat on the field, and then they held the game for 5 minutes until they got the power back up. And I guess they eventually switched it to an international feed or something like that. They used someone else's equipment or so. I don't know what the deal was.
MLB is janky.
What are the chances the power goes out during the freaking World Series, though?
Bad.
It was pretty crazy, right?
Yeah, okay. And then 6 hours later in the fifth inning.
Well, it's funny you should say that because in the 10th and 11th inning, this is only interesting to me. Okay, 10th and 11th. By the way, lots of back and forth. One of those games where you hit a home run and then you're up, and then 2 innings later somebody else hits a home run and they're up. And all sorts of like incredible plays and bases loaded shenanigans and errors and everything. It was just every inning was exciting. Now, this is only interesting to me. But in the 10th and 11th innings, the Mets send a pitcher up who was born 29 years ago yesterday. It was his 29th birthday. The day he was born is the day the day that the Mets last won their World Series back in 1986.
Okay, you're losing me.
I think that's pretty cool.
Right, I know.
So he was born to be a Mets pitcher is what I'm saying. Sure. So in the 14th inning, Kansas City wins it with a sacrifice fly off of Bartolo Colon, who must weigh 350 pounds.
He is not a picture of health.
He is one of the fattest guys you've ever seen in your life.
Bierbach says baseball players are the most athletic.
He does.
Does he fall into this category?
He needs oxygen to walk back to the dugout after he pitches. He loaded the bases in the 12th inning and got out of it. And in the 14th inning, he had the bases loaded and gave up a sacrifice fly. So the Royals end up winning the game. It was 5 hours and 9 minutes, second longest World Series game of all time. They used 13 pitchers. They used 36 players in the game. I mean, it was insane. And did you notice this, Allie? 14 innings in, it looked to me like the stands were still full in Kansas City.
Oh, packed. Those people were going nowhere.
I'd be surprised if anyone left the World Series.
Yeah, and this one means so much to both teams that they weren't going
anywhere. Because it's been anywhere. So long, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like there are a lot of cities where people would have left it when it got to be 9 innings, 10 innings.
Like the one we live in?
I guess, but I think that's true a lot more of not – when you get to the World Series, it seems like pretty much everybody's there for the long haul. This case, long, long haul. All right, I was watching the Kings game, and so then I saw Allie's tweet saying baseball is not so bad right now or something.
Baseball does not suck right now.
Baseball does not suck right now. So I turned over and I saw a pitch. Mm-hmm. And then a pitch.
Uh-huh.
Right? Well, that's how the game
is
played.
That's baseball. Yeah.
And then a pitch.
Mm-hmm.
The guy swung at that pitch.
Okay,
And hit a fly ball right along the first baseline.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And then that guy caught it, and then I turned away.
Well,
I was it. I sampled it.
Okay.
And Allie lied.
Well, no, at that point, when I tweeted that, was right when it was tied again, and you knew they were going to go in extra innings. That was big.
Yeah.
When it was 4-4.
I feel like I gave it a try.
Well.
But Kevin, that's like criticizing football because every play isn't a touchdown. I mean, sometimes, you know, it's second down and 4, and you go 1 yard, and that's the end of the play. And then
I'm bored already.
I'm just saying,
there are moments in sports where no one scores.
No, I understand that. That's not my issue. My issue is that most of the time the game revolves around three players and everybody else is literally just standing there. Now, yes, it's possible the ball will come to them. But in most cases, maybe four or five players are involved and everybody else is just standing around.
Well, they're standing around as needed.
Dull.
It was a great game. That's my point.
My point is hockey, when they go into overtime, they take two players off, so it's 3-on-3. So after the ninth inning in baseball, every inning, one guy comes off. You decide. You pick. Speed it right up.
I like it.
Well, we're not going to have a left fielder this inning. We'll have the center fielder cheat over a little bit.
It's good.
I think it would speed it up a little bit.
It's real good.
Although it doesn't sound like anybody else wants it to be sped up. So, all right. Let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
Did the doctor send you? Man, you are eye candy.
That's not creepy. We have tickets for the Clippers home open.
Yeah, we do.
Which is tomorrow night. Yeah, we do. We also have tickets for Spectre, an early screening of that. We're going to talk about unusual collections. Yesterday we talked to Jason Blum, who has got a new game show called Hellevator. And he was telling us that when he was a kid, he saved his fingernails and he still has them to this day.
In a box.
In a box.
Hiding it from his wife.
That seems gross.
That seems like some weird voodoo crap that's waiting to happen, doesn't it?
It does. But you know that when we throw open the phones, that the audience that listens to this show will have a lot of the same type of stuff. And that's not good. But it's going to be entertaining. Adam Carolla will be on the program today and the star of Ash vs. Evil Dead, Bruce Campbell. They're excited about that. That's a new series that debuts on Saturday night on Stars, and we will talk to him about that coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52.
It is Wednesday morning. Time for our very first look at the Showbiz Beat with our friend Ralph Garman, who steps in now. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, how's it going?
Geez.
Good to see you.
Well, good to see you, too.
You wish you lived in the olden times when radio people sounded like that.
Yeah.
That would be a fun job then, wouldn't it?
Hey, everybody, we're here in the morning. Wow, is it getting chilly outside, huh? Fall's coming. Hey, the frost is on the pumpkin. That means Christmas time is right around the corner.
Oh, to be a boss jock in the 60s and 70s, that'd be a life.
Everybody, I want you to come down to McMahon's Mattress Store this weekend. I'll be down there giving out bumper stickers and saying hi to the kids. We have balloons, we're going to have hot dogs, and of course those great deals on mattresses. Come on!
I think you were born in the wrong era, Ralph.
I would have crushed that time.
Sure.
Crushed!
Shotgun Kelly and the real Don Steele and then Ralph Garman.
Shotgun.
You're going to need a name, though.
Get me one of them hats. One of them Smokey Bear hats.
In business, man.
Back in Philly, there was a station called WFIL.
Is that
it was the AM station in the 60s and 70s. It was just a blowtorch of the hottest hits. And every jock on that station sounded like that.
That was the whole country.
Dr. Don Rose. Hey, it's Dr. Don Rose, everybody.
Were they honking the hits?
They were honking the hits.
WFIL was one of the legendary stations. What were they, 560?
570, I believe, on your 570? AM dial. Yeah. Good times. I got Bean's attention talking about radio.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. Speaking of Bean's attention, real quickly, this morning as I was coming into the station, I heard the following words in one breath. And keep this in mind, Bean Baxter, of everyone on this show, probably the biggest baseball fan, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Of all of us?
Yeah, easily.
Maybe of the entire population of the United States.
Yeah. What did I screw up?
Easily.
Didn't screw up anything. But these are the words I heard. It was one of the greatest sporting events in history. I punched in and out of the game. I was catching up on other things. So this is what I'm telling you. The greatest sporting event in history in baseball could not keep the attention of the guy who loves the game the most.
Why were you punching in and out?
He couldn't focus on the greatest baseball game in history because there was some laundry that needed to be sorted. He got distracted. That's how much baseball blows.
There was a new Manhattan episode last night I was determined to see. That was part of it.
It was the greatest baseball game in history. I tuned in and out because I had other things to catch up on.
Had I been by myself at home, I absolutely would have watched every minute of the game. But,
right. But you had that party going on?
No, I had that.
Those people?
Mrs. Baxter was there, and I didn't want to abandon her for the whole night.
Ruined it.
I went to the basement to watch baseball. So I, you know.
Why do you have to go to the basement to watch baseball?
Because I'm not going to make her watch
What's wrong
baseball.
With you?
She doesn't care.
You know why?
I'm not going to sit in the living room and make her watch it. So I thought, hey, I'll watch a little baseball, then I'll run upstairs and watch some Manhattan with the wife, and then run downstairs, watch a little baseball, then run upstairs and do something else. But it's that kind of a thing.
That's clean living, son. That's the way to spend the night.
He's really busy.
He really is.
I'm trying to serve two masters, you guys. I did the best I could. I saw as much of it as I could and enjoyed it very much, but I had to give some time to the wife.
Sure.
One of the most important or best sporting events in history.
Yeah, but it didn't hold my attention for the entire day.
I wanted to watch Manhattan.
I got easily distracted by something else that was going on.
He's really busy.
It's like to me said, the Super Bowl was a great Sunday, but I'll go a couple quarters because, you know, I had to change the lining in my drawers in the kitchen. Madness. All right.
Just as Scott made me.
He's got a point,
though, Bean, for God's sakes.
I know. I think I gave a reasonable explanation. You guys are married. You know what it's like.
You go on vacations without your wife. You couldn't spend 3 hours watching a ball game without her?
I'll also like to point out it was our wedding anniversary. On top of that. So I feel like the fact that I was able to carve out any World Series was I was doing pretty well. I wasn't going to push it.
I feel like she probably would have rather had you spend all of your time at the World Series.
That would have been the true gift.
Right. Dare you.
That would have been the best gift she could have received. A little alone time. Bean also said the most people in the world are dead, which I thought was interesting this morning.
What was that about?
I don't know, but it made me think of this list. Forbes magazine has released their annual list of the top earning dead celebrities. You know, all Forbes does now is make lists.
It's true.
Who do you think, what dead celebrity you think earned the most money over the past 12 months?
Michael Jackson.
Dick Poop.
Dick Poop did not make the list this year, just outside the list. You're right, Kevin. Michael Jackson was the top earning dead celebrity. What do you think he earned over the past 12 months? Just in the past year, what do you think he earned? What was his income? And now keep in mind, his overhead is low. He no longer has to spend any money on food or clothing or anything like that.
$28 million.
That's a pretty good guess. If the answer wasn't $115 million.
What? Wow. Wow.
Right?
Wow.
So.
It pays to be dead is the moral of our story.
I just am a
so
little
So those
bit...
people, all of those people in history are lucky.
That's right.
They're luckier than
when
we
When you
are.
Woke up this morning alive, you were actually behind Michael Jackson. That's all you need to know. He may be dead, but he's got making a better living than you are.
I'm a little bit surprised, Ralph, because of how little is being made off of anyone selling records, even if you're selling a lot of them these days. I can't figure out how he made so much money. That's a surprising number to me.
Any other guesses on the list?
Steve Jobs.
Well, Elvis, obviously.
Steve Jobs?
Yeah.
Okay. I got a couple of minutes. Let me break this down for you.
Okay.
This list from Forbes magazine, as I've mentioned several times, is the top-earning dead celebrities. Allie, not the top-earning dead CEOs or top earning dead guys who wear glasses. I'm sure you do. Okay, let's play the game.
I said Elvis.
Elvis second on the list, Bean.
Gotta be.
$55 million he earned.
It's pretty good for guys who have been dead since 1977.
Less than half, but it's a guy who's the peak of his career with 1957.
That's true, yeah.
So come on.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all.
Gary Coleman.
Gary Coleman did not make the list this year.
How about your James Deans, your Albert Einsteins, your Marilyn Monroes, those people that
take a guess? You can't just
shotgun.
No, I'm just saying those. I put all those together as the celebrities that they sell T-shirts of on Hollywood Boulevard.
These guys, you're right. They're perennial earners. James Dean was 13th on the list. He only made $8.5 million this year.
Needs to step up his game.
Marilyn Monroe was sixth with $17 million. Steve McQueen ninth. 12th on the list.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Johnny Cash.
You may be the worst contestant we've ever
That's
had
not a
here.
Bad guess,
name
by the
dead guy.
Johnny Cash is not a terrible.
Well, he's not in the top 15.
Is this
so.
Name the dead guy? That's the name.
That's the name of our new game show. I hope you enjoy.
Realize
it.
That.
Yeah, Hellevator was already taken, so I had to go with the Theodore Geisel, aka Dr. Seuss, 11th on the list, $9.5 million. Betty Page, famous pinup Betty Page, was number 10 on the list.
Wow, where's Mickey Dolan?
Mickey's still alive.
That's a good question.
Still with us. Yeah. Ninth on the list, sadly, Paul Walker has entered the top 10. with 10.5 million. Then Albert Einstein at number 8.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
Amy didn't make the list this year, but John Lennon
Johnny
did.
Johnny Depp.
John Lennon is number 7. Elizabeth Taylor, number 5.
Oh, I would not have thought of that.
Bob Marley was 4th. We mentioned Michael Jackson and Elvis at 1 and 2.
Ferguson.
Number 3, Turd Ferguson.
Pop music star, Falco.
Falco did not break the top 15 this year. Third on the list, my mortal enemy and eternal foe, Steve.
Is it Steve?
Steve dropped out of the top 15.
Biggie Smalls is the illest.
No, Biggie, all right. Also not there.
Teddy and Daryl.
Nope, Teddy.
Another good guess.
Teddy was close. Daryl did not make the cut.
Dazeem.
No, Dazeem once again, not.
Fetty Wap.
Fetty Wap is still alive.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Also still alive to the best of my knowledge.
Johnny Asshole.
I hope it was him.
Nope. Farrah Abramson.
Although I did see a remarkable Johnny Asshole impersonator in front of Grauman's Chinese Theater the other day. Just like him.
He hate me.
He hate me, didn't make the list.
How can we not get the third?
Can you give us a hint? What's the field?
The field is...
The music?
If I give you the field, it's going to be a dead giveaway.
Oh, dead giveaway.
Yeah, no pun intended. He's an artist.
Ringo.
He's an artist.
Warhol.
No.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, not a dead giveaway.
I am really bad.
That was a great guess, though.
Cartoonist.
Walt Disney.
Cartoonist, not Walt Disney.
Oh. Charles Schultz.
Charles Schultz.
Oh, there you go.
My ultimate film.
Good job, Kevin.
Oh. Charles Schultz and his freaking peanuts. He made $40 million off those unfunny little turds.
Are you going to take your daughter to the Peanuts movie?
No!
Doesn't it look perfect
Here's
for a little
why.
Kid?
Because I love her. That's
right.
Why.
Right, and she would love that movie.
Are you going to take your daughter to the acid bath? You might as well just bath me.
You're the worst.
No, Charles M. Schultz is the worst. I'm sad today, Linus. Oh, Charlie Brown, don't be sad. Have OCD like me and carry a blanket around. I'm going to go talk to your dog who thinks he's a pilot.
F that.
Mental illness in a comic strip right there.
Well, Olivia would love that movie and you know it.
Not. Today's celebrity birthday, singer Frank Ocean is 28. Remember when he got all those guys together and they knocked over that casino? That was amazing.
That was Ocean's 11.
Was
Ocean's 11, 12,
one little guy
13.
Was
unrelated.
In a box.
To this.
It was like a
nope.
Chinese gymnast.
Right, that was just a movie. That
jumped around.
That's not Frank Ocean.
Frank Ocean's
nothing to
the
do with
man.
That.
He's the man.
Not Frank Ocean.
Matt Smith, Doctor Who himself at one time, 33. You guys watching The Who, The New Who, with Peter Capaldi?
I am not.
I have no time for you.
I said it to record because of Ralph's enthusiasm, but I've not watched it yet.
Matt was a great doctor, and initially, Peter Capaldi, I was like, I don't know if I can get used to this, but now I'm just digging him. I think he's great. Yeah, I love him.
All right.
Joaquin Phoenix is 41. Julia Roberts, 48 years old today. Bill Gates, 60. Caitlyn Jenner turned 66 years old. And Dennis Franz from NYPD Mother Love and Blue, 71 years old today. Here's the guy, one of the hottest TV shows in the world for 12 seasons. Then
you're right. Where'd he go?
A puff of smoke. He's gone. I think he's holed up in the woods somewhere writing a manifesto. Either that or he's buying antiques with his wife. I forget. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I like that Death Cab for Cutie, by the way. Like every song they ever do. That one's called The Ghost of Beverly Drive here on the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. So, Allie...
Yeah, Bean.
You're girl adjacent. What's your thought on leggings as a fashion accessory?
Super comfy.
Yeah, you wear them a lot?
Yeah, you can dress them up, dress them down, put on a pair of boots.
Do you wear them instead of pants?
They are pants.
Okay.
Seems reasonable.
Yeah.
Big controversy right now about people who are wearing leggings as pants, and it all comes from a woman in Tennessee who put up a Facebook post a couple of weeks ago. It has now been seen more than 13 million times. 13 million times. She says no to wearing leggings as pants, and she makes some very convincing arguments. I present for you Jamie Randolph.
Good morning. I know I've already done a video in the past couple of days, but ladies, it's pretty much legging weather. I love legging weather. I don't care if you don't like leggings. Don't judge me. They are comfortable. They don't cut into you. They're always the right length. I feel like pajamas. I love them. You can dress them up. You can dress them down. You can look like a frat girl, or you can look pretty classy in them, depending on what you choose to pair with them.
so far, you and Amy are on the same page, it sounds like. Right, Allie?
Right.
I love leggings, too.
It's leggings weather.
Leggings.
It's leggings weather.
Yep.
This morning while trying on my leggings, I couldn't find my normal leggings. So I had to borrow Mackenzie's for a hot minute. And I'm like, whoops. Mm-mm. Them ain't gonna work. So I'm heading to the store right now to get me some other leggings.
By the way, is this a good use of the technology that was involved in creating the internet?
I don't believe so.
All right. So she's
this
going
is
to
my
buy...
favorite video of all time right now.
she's going to buy some new leggings, okay?
Leggings,
sorry. And now she's got some pretty serious thoughts on the topic.
This is why I'm making this video.
Okay.
Some of you people like to use leggings as breeches, as pants. That ain't how they're supposed to be worn. If you can't wear a shirt that covers your tail so I can't tell that you got some Aztec print thongs on, you don't need to be wearing them.
Okay, how about now that she's laying down some ground rules here, Allie, do you cover your ass with a shirt or a dress if you're wearing leggings, or are you just out there with just your leggings?
Excuse me, leggings.
Leggings, sorry.
First of all, I think there's a discrepancy here. She's talking about seeing your underwear through them. Those are very thin leggings, almost like tight leggings, almost like tight.
Right. So there are more thick ones. That
absolutely.
There are different kinds of leggings.
Okay.
Yeah.
Leggings.
So if it's a matter of seeing the underwear through the leggings, get thicker leggings, would that change things for her?
Well, let's find out. I think she goes on.
That's rule number one.
Oh.
If they're too tight, that I can see you got a tattoo on your leg. They're too tight. They ain't to be wore, period. That's called pantyhose, honey. Pantyhose.
Okay, so this is what you're talking about with the thinner leggings.
Yeah.
They're pantyhose. Those are clearly just undergarments. Should never be worn as pants.
Yeah, there are some that are tights that you wear, you know, under a dress, under a skirt, even under like a longer top. But they're not leggings.
Who's got this strong of feelings on leggings?
Jamie.
Well, Jamie Randolph does.
Lord Jesus.
Oh.
White leggings. Them's a big old no-no.
Oh.
You can see all kinds of stuff through them. See, leggings, most of the time, it don't matter how big you are. As long as you keep your tail end covered. You can be a big old girl. I'm a big girl. I'm a thick girl. I got thick legs. I got thick calves. I got a big old butt. And I got a big old gut.
Very sexy. Very, very sexy. Rarely do you hear a woman stand up and take ownership of her big old butt and her big old gut. White leggings. Allie, your thoughts?
Leggings.
That's a great point. Again, I don't know if they can be cute, especially during, I'm going to sound real dumb, but like 4th of July, a pair of white leggings with a red top. Super cute.
White leggings. So you're down. This is where you guys take separate paths here, right?
Yeah.
You digress from Jamie with the white leggings.
You're going away from Jamie Randolph,
the legging expert? I will say, though, she does have a point. You can see a lot through white leggings, no matter how thick they are.
You've
got a little cottage cheese on your back of your thigh. White leggings, you can spot it a little
easier.
Okay,
so you're with her or you're not with her?
I'm feeling her more with the white leggings.
Okay.
But know your own body, ladies, is what
sure.
it sounds like you're saying.
Sure.
All right. I think she has more on the white leggings and why that's a big no-no.
Okay.
So, you got to conceal it. You wear your longer shirt, like a tunic. Sometimes you can wear them with a little dress. That's fine. Wear them with boots. You can wear them with flaps. You can wear them with all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
But make sure your tail is covered. Nobody wants to see what kind of panties you got on. Nobody wants to see anything going up in any body part that you have, I assure you. I mean, that stuff's left for the bedroom. It don't need to be running around town. It's awful. Don't do it. You're welcome.
All right, there
all
we go.
Right.
It has been laid down. Ladies, now you know, if you're getting ready to go out this morning, now you know the do's and don'ts of leggings. Frankie Flores from Canyon Country, thank you for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here this morning. We are happy to hook you up with tickets for Friday night's K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball with Cage the Elephant, Peking Duck, DJ Jeremiah Red. It's going to be Friday night. The El Rey Your Chance to Win is coming up. Don't forget, go to KROQ.com for all the details on that costume contest, too, that could net you $5,000.
Speaking of the number 5,000, did you know that there are 5,000 self-identified blood-drinking vampires in the United States?
What? I don't mean to state the obvious, but you do know that vampires aren't real, right?
5,000 of them say they are.
So an interview in the Washington Post with a vampire expert John Edgar Browning is his name, who says, yeah, Kevin, 5,000 self-identified blood-drinking vampires. He says, I started interviewing them, and after a short period of time, I realized they weren't crazy. At least they weren't any crazier than your average Joe. What about the part where they're drinking people's blood?
Right?
Isn't that automatically crazy?
How does that not fall into the crazy category?
Their donors, people who allow a vampire to collect their blood and drink it, are often close friends who give up their blood for free. Other times, vampires pay their givers or reward them with sexual favors. This is what's going on. By the
Go
way,
on.
I'm listening.
Didn't we do a That's My Strange Addiction a couple years ago about a guy who was drinking blood? Remember, Kevin?
Yes. Yes,
and
we
had
did.
To break it to his family he was drinking blood?
Yep.
These are people who just – they say that they feel better, that they get a certain kind of energy from drinking blood. And I don't know – I mean, is there a downside to that? I mean, I guess if the blood's clean, I can't imagine it would hurt you. But it also, I can't imagine it would do that much for you either. So I don't know.
We should talk to whoever is on the phone from the Atlanta Vampire Alliance.
Well, this is Murdoch.
This is
he's a founding member of the Atlanta Vampire Alliance, Kevin.
I didn't know that group even existed.
Murdoch. Mock Murdoch.
Murdoch, hello.
How you doing?
We're good.
Blah. Blah, y'all. Blah.
You're a vampire, too?
I am a vampire. I'm a founding member of the Atlanta Vampire Alliance.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And you can find out more about us at AtlantaVampireAlliance.com. We welcome everyone to take a good hard look at what we're doing and learn more about vampires. Blah, y'all.
Okay, but vampires aren't real, and by that I mean nobody needs blood to survive.
Well, I know plenty of vampires who'd beg to differ, because if you don't drink the blood, if you don't feed, and you're a vampire, it can have actual physical repercussions.
Like what?
Well, a loss of energy. Sometimes a heart rate can be dropping.
Okay.
Migraines, losing consciousness. If you don't feed, it's going to take its toll.
And when you say feed, what do you mean? Are you just like drinking blood? You're not actually biting people.
Well, it depends. You know, everybody's different. There's all different kinds of vampires. You quoted the number 5,000.
5,000, right. Uh-huh.
Those are just the blood-drinking vampires. There are 10,000 non-drinkers in the U.S. who also claim to be vampires. So you can get physical energy from touch. But most of us, we like drinking the blood.
How can you be a vampire if you don't drink blood?
Well, here's the thing. Vampirism is just the feeding of energy off of other living things.
Okay.
And so there's different ways you can do it, but most of us do prefer to drink the blood.
Well, apparently we just know nothing about this topic.
No,
I feel like,
you don't, obviously. Yeah. And then, look, don't feel ashamed. Don't feel bad about yourself.
Well, I don't think you feel bad.
Because most people, they are woefully ignorant when it comes to the world of vampirism. And that's why those of us at the AVA, that's our house. Or coven, if you will, or haven.
Sure. Uh-huh.
We have done extensive research. It's available for you right there on the internet where you can learn more about vampires.
Well, could you, Murdoch, could you give us just a few things about vampires maybe we don't know?
Well, we have done two different extensive studies, the Vampire and Energy Work Research Survey and Advanced Vampirism and Energy Work Research Survey.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we have compiled the most extensive information about vampires in the United States.
All right, good.
And so we've got lots of facts. For instance, it's funny to me, Murdoch, the vampire, that you're calling from California, because California has, believe it or not, the highest residency of any state in the union when it comes to vampires. You folks have more vampires than anybody there.
Is that right?
That's right.
Why is everybody's voice so high all of a sudden?
You're second only to Texas, and then those of us here in Georgia. We have a huge vampire population.
Huh. And all those zombies in Georgia, too, right?
Because that's a TV show, right?
There you go. Right.
Also, most vampires are independent. 57.82% of vampires identify themselves as independent. That means they're not at a vampire house, clan, coven, haven, order, or court.
Okay.
So a lot of people walk around, don't even hang out with other vampires. They're just being vampires.
You sound delighted by the whole concept of vampirism.
Most vampires, vampires are supposed to be immortal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sadly, that is not the case, but 78.9% of us do believe that our spirit has existed in a former lifetime. So in essence, we are immortal because our spirit goes on and on because we're vampires.
But doesn't everyone's spirit go on and on then?
Well, if you, that's the way you want to think, that's fine. But we like to think it's just mostly the vampires that go on and on.
I see.
Here's some lesser-known facts we didn't put up on the website yet. But, for example, when it comes to a vampire's favorite sport, 29% say baseball, which I think is funny.
Because
you think it'd be more with all the bats in baseball. 32% love football. However, an overwhelming 47% say soccer is their favorite sport. Largely because, although vampires are not immortal, watching soccer makes them feel like they're living forever. Because it seems to never, ever end. It makes life seem longer. When it comes to vampires, they're just like you. They like to watch television.
Okay.
Shockingly, I was surprised by this result. Only 13% of vampires identified True Blood as their favorite TV show.
What?
Yeah. 61% said Knock Knock Live, which I thought was strange.
That is.
Turns out it's because Satan was the host of that show.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
That does make sense.
You'd be surprised 41% of vampires identify themselves as married.
Okay.
How about that? Now, 69% of those who do say they're married admit they are married to their cats.
Oh. That doesn't seem good.
Weak group.
Of the 5,000 identified vampires, 61% admit that they only said they were a vampire to try to pick up Rose McGowan in a bar. And lastly, 78% of vampires said they would rather starve to death than feed on Donald Trump. So not everybody's blood the same, because you don't want to eat his blood. Next thing you know, you're talking loud and got that bad hair, and you just don't want any part of that Donald Trump.
Yeah, you start saying crazy stuff. Being a vampire is the least of your worries at that point.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's crazy.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Who's cooler than Bruce Campbell, you guys?
Hang on, let me think.
Okay, maybe some people, but most people aren't. Bruce Campbell's one of the coolest guys in the world. Santa is pretty cool. I got to give you that.
Santa's cooler.
He, of course, from Everything, Burn Notice. Kevin, you watched Bruce Campbell for many years on the Burn Notice.
From Everything, yep. That's for sure.
I'm saying he's the guy who's worked a lot, for a long time.
Bubba,
he's always
Mother
great.
Loving Hotep. That's who he is right there.
Right? Anyway, he's back on TV with Ash vs. Evil Dead starting this weekend on Starz. Bruce Campbell himself joins us at 8 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat on Wednesday.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? Ralph Garman here with all the latest and greatest news in show business, everybody.
Thinking of going back to it. I'm serious. I've come to the conclusion this morning, if you're wondering why I'm talking so silly, that DJs of the 60s and 70s, the pop music, the top 10 DJs of the 60s and 70s, that was the greatest era for the DJ.
Was it?
Yes.
So you feel like you were born in the wrong era. You missed the golden age of broadcasting.
Yes. You know when I thought the DJs were the lamest?
The when 80s? You joined this show?
No, the 80s. I thought DJs in the 80s were lame.
Okay.
Sort of underwhelming. Sounded a bit dead inside. Listen to this clip from a DJ from the 1980s, if you will.
I got to tell you, I am loving that new record and can't wait to see those boys live. Now I've got Foreigner. This is Feels Like the First Time for Emily F., and it's from her secret admirer.
That's for Emily F.
Oh, my God.
It's from her secret admirer.
Guy's an ass.
Coming up. I really enjoyed that song. I'm looking forward to seeing them live. And now here's Foreigner.
Whatever happened to that guy?
I don't know.
But he can't still be in radio, right?
He's probably dead.
You know where that clip was from?
No.
That was our own Kevin Reiner.
What?
Are you kidding? On the TV last night.
What?
No. Yes.
Wait, what?
Kevin, tell him.
I was on the TV last night.
Sorry, what was that?
What?
TV show called Wicked City.
It's from Wicked City, Allie.
I DVR'd it. I can't wait.
Then you have Kevin waiting for you at home.
No way.
Wicked
That's
City
been
that
her
takes,
dream.
Takes
Chuck place. Bass is on that show.
It takes place in the 80s on the Sunset Strip, and our own Kevin Ryder is the flame-throwing DJ who they listen to on the radio. He's an integral part of the story.
I didn't get the note about the flame-throwing part.
Oh, you're throwing them.
Wow.
We're going to have Ed Westwick on the show next week, by the way, speaking of
Oh,
that,
we are. So good.
Says, yeah.
How were you chosen to represent radio in this show, Kevin?
Well, I mean, I think we all know.
Did you hear that clip, Bean? He personifies energetic radio of the 80s.
Do you guys remember when we were in, was it Project X? And Bean and I both read all of the same lines and they only chose me?
Yes, because you've got the...
Thank you, Ralph.
You have the monopoly. You have the lock on... radio DJ
apparently
roles
so.
In Hollywood. You've played a DJ on The O.C.?
That's true, yeah.
You played a DJ last night in Wicked City.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Project X.
Right.
That's right, yeah.
Remember you played that?
That's it?
The gay guy at the bar in that one movie? Excuse me. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Your movie career and TV career is blowing up,
yeah.
son.
I'm on fire.
Can we hear that clip one more time?
I'm
speaking of being on fire. Can I hear that one more time?
No. I got to tell you, I'm loving that new record and can't wait to see those boys live. Now I've got Foreigner. This is Feels Like the First Time for Emily F. And it's from her secret admirer.
Oh, that guy
it's
does
for
good
Emily
work.
Emily F. and her secret admirer.
That guy does good work.
Wow.
I cannot wait to see these guys live. I'm very excited about that.
Did they tell you to play it so low-key?
Break down? Were you too energetic?
Sure.
Yeah.
Kev Dog, eat dog.
Kev Dog.
Apparently the kids on Wicked City listen to The Coast.
And coming up next is Ted Ziegenbusch will be stopping by and playing love songs here on the coast. Here's for Emily F. from her secret admirer. I'm looking
good
forward,
times.
Looking forward right? to seeing those guys live when they swing through town.
How dare you?
All right, now here's Foreigner. Feels like the first time.
How dare you?
Congratulations,
I kid,
Kevin.
But congratulations, Kevin.
Thanks.
Glad to see you out there doing good things.
Doing what I do?
Doing what you keep doing what good. You do.
I think it's good you have a backup plan at this point.
Speaking of television.
Do you think that should be my backup plan, though, B?
I do. Yes.
Okay. All right.
The Walking Dead.
Yes.
Sunday's episode.
Yes.
Pulled in 13.1 million viewers overall.
Yay!
That's up 8% over the previous week. If you add in what the people in TV call the live plus three ratings, which means it's the live ratings, people who watch the show live, then the DVR viewing within the next 3 days.
Yeah, that was me. I was gone Sunday night, so I watched it Monday.
Mm-hmm. If we add that all together, that means the show actually had 17.1 million viewers.
What's with the zombies?
Which makes it the number one primetime program of the week in the 18 to 49 demographic. That's even ahead of Sunday Night Football, which almost always wins that challenge. So congratulations to those guys.
What happens if the zombies come? Are you prepared
right.
for that?
Right. When Adele had her new song that broke, Hello.
Yep.
Was that earlier this week or was that last week? It was Monday we were talking about
Sunday
that, right?
Sunday night.
Yeah, so yeah. we're talking about it on Monday. Bean and I were speculating whether we get to see her touring live shows from Adele or not.
Because she does so few.
So few. This is either good or bad news, depending how you look at it.
Okay.
She will be performing live in London on November the 2nd. Right. However, that concert is going to be filmed for a one-hour TV special for the BBC called Adele Live in London that will air on November the 22nd. I'm assuming it will air on BBC America as well. Graham Norton will be the host, and she will be backed by a live band singing songs from her new album, 25, which gets released on November the 20th. So she apparently is willing to perform this music live, but will she travel? That's the
no tour.
So is this a good sign or a bad sign? Is she filming this so everyone can just see her live in one shot? Or is she filming it showing that she's comfortable performing these songs live and will take them on the road? I guess that remains to be seen.
Bean, is she one of those people that doesn't like to get up in front of crowds?
Very much. Very much. She's terrified of it.
Huh.
And movies in the works. That sounds awesome. If you are even a casual racing fan, you know the name Enzo Ferrari. He was a legendary driver, but also an automobile mogul, as you can imagine from his last name, responsible for the Ferrari sports car. There's a book based on his life called Enzo Ferrari, The Man, the Cars, the Races, the Machine. It includes his hatred of his lifelong marriage to his wife, Laura. He had many affairs. This guy lived the life. And Christian Bale has been tapped to play Enzo Ferrari. I think it's going to be awesome. I cannot wait for that performance. Here's a scene. Hey, Laura, what's the matter you? Nope. I hate being mad at you so much. I love my cars, though. My cars go zoom, zoom fast. And every time I get in a car, I go so fast around a corner, you cannot even stop me. My meatball go all over the dashboard. I drive so fast, Laura. I hate you guts.
A little scene from Enzo Ferrari. Can't wait to see that.
You know, we've talked to Adam Carolla about the Enzo Ferrari story before, and Adam's coming up later on this morning. He's always said the guy had one of the most fascinating lives of the 20th century. They absolutely need to make a movie about how crazy this guy's life was. It sounds like it's happening.
Oh, I'm sorry. Adam Carolla isn't starring instead of Christian Bale. That'd be great.
There you go.
Hey, can we get this car going faster?
And it wouldn't be the same.
Probably. Hey, what's the matter, you?
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
And how was it?
I don't know. I haven't seen the movie yet, but I'm looking forward to it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Frank Ocean's 28 years old today. Matt Smith, former Doctor Who, is 33. Joaquin Phoenix, 41. Julia Roberts is 48. Bill Gates is 60. Caitlyn Jenner is 66. And actor Dennis Franz, you know him as Lieutenant Sipowicz for many seasons on NYPD Blue. He is 71 years old today. Do we have time for when Kevin met Dennis Franz?
No, we don't.
When you were coming up, the first we said, "What should we ask Dennis Franz?"
What?
We said, "I'm trying to figure out how to ask this in a nice way. Maybe I better just not ask it. We're going to talk about your ass some more, but maybe we won't. Any more nakedness on your part on NYPD Blue coming up this year?
I hope not.
Yeah, I think we all hope
not too.
I think maybe the only celebrity ever just mocked Kevin to his face,
and I've deserved it so many times.
Twice. Dennis Franz was a member of our show.
I remember thinking at the time, he's absolutely doing the right thing.
Absolutely. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm just saying, it's pretty gross to keep your fingernails
in a box.
Right? Anywhere.
It's not a choice I would make. You know, I was thinking about this. Welcome to Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday morning. We had a guest on the program yesterday, the executive producer of the Hellevator TV show on the Game Show Network. And it was kind of – I innocently asked how he got started being interested in horror as a kid. And the last thing in the world I was expecting is that he would tell us this story.
While other kids collected stamps and coins, I collected my own fingernails. I actually still have them in a little plastic box. It's still in my – my wife doesn't know. It's still in our apartment. I have my fingernails, my baby teeth, and there are a couple of colored nails because apparently – every so often, I would save a nail or two from my mother.
Was that responsive to my question of how he became interested in horror, by the way?
No, I think that was just, I'm a weirdo.
I'm a weirdo,
I think. He's the guy behind Paranormal Activity, too, right?
Right, and the Sinister movies, and I think the Ouija movies. I mean, he's got a long horror credential. So he told us that story yesterday, and I was thinking about this. I don't think there's anything inherently gross in fingernails. Like, when you cut your fingernail, you're not wigged out by it or grossed out by it. You put it in the trash, but it's not like it's disgusting. Mm-hmm. But once you put it in a jar or in a box or something like that and let it sit for a month and then a year and then 10 years and then 20 years, I feel like that's – then it's starting to cross some lines.
You think?
So it's the 10-year part that's...
No, I'm just saying...
What about the I have a wife and she doesn't know there's a box of it in our house?
Yeah. That strikes me as odd as well. A collection of old fingernails. So he... Now, you asked him about toenails and he said, no, that's ridiculous,
it's not
right?
He's got to draw a line.
So
but his mom... By the way, his mom's fingernails.
Yeah.
Well, that's creepy.
What's that about, do you think?
I don't know.
So every time he would cut his nails... He would add them to his collection, and he saved it. And even though his wife found out about it, she thinks he threw them away. He didn't. He still has them, presumably hidden somewhere in their house. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that got us thinking about unusual collections, and there are a lot of things that people have collected. I'm not a collector, and I don't think you are either, right, Kevin?
I am not, no.
Not a collector. Allie?
Nope.
Collect anything at all?
I used to have a lot of owls. Like, not real owls, obviously, but like owl figurines and owl lamp, owl ring. But
that's exactly the type of thing that we're talking about, that somebody just for whatever reason develops an attraction for a thing. And all of a sudden, that's what they do in the rest of their life is they gather up those things and fill their house with.
You still have the owls?
I do. And it got to the point where people would bring me like, oh, here's owl salt and pepper shakers.
Right.
And I finally was like, enough, owls.
Oh, yeah. You're mad at them.
I'm like, stop giving into my problem. Still have them.
Really? Okay. Yeah. We want to take calls if you have an unusual collection, something that you keep that most people don't. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067.
The stranger, the better. You know,
we don't
want like concert tickets that a lot of people do.
Mementos,
you know, stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. If you've got a one-of-a-kind collection, we want to hear about it. Let me run a couple by you that Dave was able to research for us yesterday. What about this guy, Donald Detloff? He lives in Hawaii. He has 647 different surfboards.
Wow.
Now, is that, besides the fact that that is an extremely space-consuming hobby, by the way, surfboards,
yeah.
Where do you even put that many surfboards? Would you consider that so weird, wacky?
I don't know. He's in Hawaii, and he loves to surf. I'm good
yeah,
with that.
I like
but,
it.
But, how, I mean...
I like that.
Okay. I just... He can't be using
most
of them,
right?
Well,
no, they're
not
for use.
So what do? They just take up space, right?
Yeah, I imagine, yeah.
Right? I know people who collect Coca-Cola memorabilia. Here's a 39-year-old in Italy who started collecting Coca-Cola cans when he was 15 years old. He has special edition and commemorative cans from almost every country in the world, including Cuba and North Korea. It doesn't say how many he has, but it's one of the world's largest collection of Coca-Cola cans.
Omar has a lot of Coke stuff. And some Coca-Cola cans.
Here's Allie, this is like your owl collection. This is Karen Ferrier is her name. She is obsessed with Dalmatians, and she owns a collection of over 3,500 Dalmatians. I would imagine it's statues and prints and pillows and those sorts of things, right?
Yeah.
Into Dalmatians. Kevin, who is your couple in Ohio that you were interested in?
Well, this is a little weird, but there is a couple in Ohio that have love dolls. They have 240 sex dolls, and they keep them all over their house.
And this is
what?
A couple?
Yes, the
this
dude
a guy
has
who just
a
wants to,
wife.
It's not just a dude who wants to date a different doll every night.
His name
He's
is
got a wife.
Bob and Lizzie Gibbons.
All right. And finally, before we go to your calls at 1-800-520-1067, Graham Barker has the largest collection in the world of belly button fluff. He started his collection in 1984. So where our friend Jason would save his fingernail clippings, he, every time he cleans out his belly button, would put it in a bottle. And he has over 22 grams of belly button fluff.
Okay, let's not make it cute and call it fluff. That is straight up dirt and lint and gook.
Yeah, it's gook.
You sicko.
Oh. Says the owl lady.
True.
Right, let's How does somebody get started on that collection? I wonder.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Take me back to his first day where Graham cleaned out his belly button and said, I can't waste this.
Oh, put it in the box.
All right, where do you want to go first?
I want to start with Pamela right off the bat. She crazy. Hey, Pamela.
Hello.
You collect what?
My cat's whiskers in a whisker museum.
I just heard the words whisker museums.
Do you have a whisker museum in your house?
I do. It's a beautiful little glass cloisonné box where the whiskers are displayed.
Mm-hmm. Why is your cat losing so many whiskers? What, are there a lot of fires in your house?
No. It's numerous cats over like 40 years.
And do all they just do whiskers?
Hold on. Numerous. How many? Over 100?
No.
150?
Four. No.
All right.
Do forgive me for not knowing this, but do whiskers they just fall out?
Yeah, like people's eyelashes. Similar.
And then you save those. And how many do you think you have?
Probably about 200 to 300.
And do you just glance into your whisker museum, or what, how do you
sometimes
pay?
I let people, certain people are allowed to see the whisker museum. It's pretty private, but the whiskers are, different colors have different value in my mind, like for luck. I've always thought that when you find a whisker, you kiss it and it's good luck.
So you kiss the whiskers?
Yeah, you kiss the whisker and put it in the museum, and then, I know I sound nuts.
No.
No, you sound
good.
So the white whiskers are like 24 hours of good luck, and the 48 hours for the black or the gray.
Huh. Do you ever wonder what your life would have been like had you gotten married instead?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, we appreciate you listening, Pamela. Thank you for sharing the Whisker Museum with us. All right. That's the that's the first call. That's first. That's the one we already talked to. So we'll see what you got when we come back. 1-800-520-1067. Unusual collections after this on K-Rock. I appreciate so much, Kevin, listener Maher, for emailing me about the collection of 342 bottles of different hot sauces that he has. However, that is not going to cut it today, my friend. That is not going to make the grade for Unusual Collections today after we talked to
our whisker lady friend. Let's go back to the phones at 1-800-520-1067. Talking about unusual collections. We had a guest on yesterday who collects his own fingernail clippings and has since he was a little kid. Lucy gets this going. She's in Thousand Oaks. She's on line 7. I don't even know. I can't. I can't even.
Hey, Lucy.
Hey.
You have an unusual collection?
Hello?
Lucy, yes, go ahead.
Hi, yes, I do. Actually, it's not me, it's a friend.
Sure.
Yeah, right, friend, in quotes. Go ahead.
Ew, I wouldn't do that.
Sure.
She has, but you,
she has
she
what?
She has ferrets that she embalms and keeps them forever.
Ferrets?
Dead ferrets. Well, they were her ferrets, but now they're dead, and she embalms them, and she keeps them in a cabinet.
How many do you think she has?
She probably has about 8.
Oh,
so far.
Man.
But she has 15 years.
Okay, we're having a lot of trouble with your phone. I'm sorry, Lucy, but can you just tell us why do so many of her ferrets die?
I don't know.
Get away
I
from her.
I can't tell you that.
Because they want to?
Yeah, they want.
All right,
probably,
Lucy.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably, yeah.
All right.
Thank
you
for the call.
Tell your friend. Thank you.
Let's go to line 3, please. Whittier, this is going to be our man, James.
Hey, James.
This is in the category of fingernail clippings, but maybe worse. Hi, James. Welcome to the Kevin Abeen Show. What are you collecting?
Hey, now. Well, when I was a kid, I used to collect the blisters, the dead skin from my feet and my sister's feet, and I kept them in an Altoids box.
Oh,
and
God.
I had a microscope, and I was convinced that I was going to be a scientist when I was older, and I didn't.
Do you still have the skin collection?
No, but I had it for a good 5 years, but I wouldn't let anyone near it. It was like my thing.
Sure.
Well, you weren't fighting people away from who wanted to be near it either, by the way.
Not that hard.
You'd have to hire security.
Right, exactly. You should have made a bitchin' lampshade out of it, man. Come on.
Come on, James.
Ooh,
waste
of good skin. I'm going to start a new collection.
Yes.
Right now.
All
right,
excellent.
James. Goals.
All right. Let's talk to Carmela in Bellflower. She's on line 5. She has something that's not nearly as gross, but is equally curious to me. Carmela, welcome to the Kevin Abeen Show. What's this unusual collection that you have?
Okay, I have a collection of water.
Water?
Okay.
Like bottled yes. water?
No, it's water from places, like water from the Mississippi River, water from the Atlantic Ocean.
You just bring a jar with you everywhere you're going?
No, it started because someone who went to the Mississippi River brought me back like a little vial of water, and I was uh-huh. like, this will make an interesting collection. The only problem is when I started collecting water from other places, I didn't really put them in airtight containers, so they evaporated.
That's a problem.
But
so now you just have a collection of containers.
Yes, that's right.
But here's the question, that even if they were perfectly maintained, at some point you stand and you look at a shelf and you're looking at 10 different vials of water, and then what do you really have?
Right, exactly. And then I had a little vial of water from the Thames in London.
Right.
And it was really gross and cloudy and disgusting. So
yeah.
I just threw it away.
You wised up. Okay, very good. Thank you for the call. I appreciate that. Do we want to talk to Eddie and San Dimas,
yes,
line
we
7,
do.
Or do we not want to? Okay,
yes, we do. Sort of slash no, we don't. Eddie, hi.
What do you do, party people?
I'm afraid to ask what you collect.
No, it wasn't me. It was some crazy broad I dated.
All right, let's hear about it.
Condoms.
Well, it's good to have condoms on hand. You never know when you're going to bring a boy home. What's wrong with that?
Not used ones.
Oh.
Yeah.
So.
Cool chick. Thought she was an amazing chick and went back to the apartment one night to take care of some business, and she goes, do you think it's a Ziploc baggy size or a gallon Ziploc bag? And what are you talking about? She's like, and she like pulls this one up, and she's like, I only keep the best ones. Oh, I bailed, man.
I was going to ask. That's a deal breaker, right?
Oh, dude, I was gone.
Yeah. What do you think that's about?
I didn't even ask. I just left.
I mean, that's her way of commemorating the date so that she has something to look at later and go, oh, yeah, that guy was fun. I mean, is that what's happening here?
I feel like we don't need more details.
Yeah. Some ladies keep cocktail napkins.
That was enough for me
that's enough for anyone, Eddie.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Eddie.
Gross.
I can't believe he didn't even recognize your voice, Allie. That was
weird.
I know.
Thank God.
Let's try Gary in Fullerton, line 6. This may have to be our last one. I don't.
But what about Melissa?
I don't know that I have the strength to
go on.
Yeah,
we got to go to Melissa, too.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, what's up, knucklebutt?
You collect what?
Dead people's ashes.
And where do you get these?
Dead people's ashes.
I have a friend that works at a crematorium, and you wouldn't believe how many people actually have their relatives cremated but never come and pick them up. Mm-hmm. I have about 45 urns of dead people's ashes.
So you say to your friend, hey, look, if nobody picks that one up, can I have it?
Yeah.
Is there a time limit? Like, do they have 5 years, 10 years?
Yeah, what if they come back? Does your friend come back to you and go, hey, they're looking for their ashes?
Well, I guess they make some type of call into these people, say, hey, you know, your relative or whoever is ready. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they can't get a hold of them or they've moved and there's no finding them. You know, usually he waits about 90 days.
But if you don't want them, I got a buddy named Gary that collects them.
Yeah, Gary, what's that all about? What do you just look at the urns and you're like, oh, that was Tim. I didn't know him, but boy, did he live.
Well, because he has the information of who it is and the age that they died.
Right.
And so what I'll do is on the urn, you know, I'll get a cheap one or whatever, and I'll have it made out to that person. And then every Halloween, I'll put them out with my Christmas decoration. I mean, my Halloween decoration.
I'd hate to know what you do for Christmas.
Like it makes a difference at that
point. So these people die friendless and familyless, but at least they end up as part of your Halloween decoration. So it's not all bad.
No, it's not all bad. You
know? All right, I feel like we're done. I think you're right, B. I think we're finished.
Oh, my God. All right, Gary.
You're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
These are our listeners, by the way.
We knew we would get enough calls.
Right. But that was an astonishing collection of listeners.
Cat Whisker Museum lady wins, though, right?
I don't know, dude. He's collecting
dead
ashes
from dead people that he didn't know.
And the lady with the crazy used condom collection, too. Amazing.
Wow.
All right. We apologize, Melissa. We didn't have time for you, Richard, and the others. We do have to clear the lines and open them right back up again for something completely different. The same number, 1-800-520-1067. Every day this week, we've been giving you tickets to see the LA Clippers home opener. It is tomorrow night at Staples Center versus Dallas Mavericks. By the way, that's going to be interesting to see DeAndre Jordan and Mark Cuban in the same room at the same time.
Sure.
Tomorrow night,
yep.
with what went down over the summer. If you're a huge basketball fan, particularly if you love the Clippers, we want to hear from you right now. 1-800-520-1067. You are going to have to earn your way in. We'll give you a chance to play a game and win tickets to see the LA Clippers next year on K-Rock. Bruce Campbell, the legend himself, in studio with us at 8 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We got Spectre. What?
Hey, Bean, what if Bruce Campbell was listening on the way in? He was hearing people talk about saving used condoms and ashes.
Then he would be doing the right thing to turn it around and drive right back home.
I feel like that would
be bad.
Also,
we got Spectre tickets for you next hour to see the new James Bond film before it comes out. We got Adam Carolla on the program. All of that still to come here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, we want to give you a pair of tickets to see the LA Clippers versus the Dallas Mavericks at Staples Center. It's tomorrow night, plus you're qualified to win a grand prize, which is a tremendous upgrade at the game. And we're going to do it with a game that we like to call Title Fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a
Clipper game.
Not low budget at all. All right, Kevin, since this is the most complicated game that we play, why don't you try to explain it to the listeners and the folks listening at home?
All right, the answers are going to be names of NBA teams, the name of an NBA team. Dave's going to be giving you clues and Chip is going to be giving you clues, and they can't reference the city or the players.
Exactly.
So they're just going to try to get you to say the name of whatever NBA team. They have five of them, and you have 45 seconds.
Okay. Well, that all sounds right. Relatively straightforward. So let's meet our first contestant. This is going to be from Boyle Heights. We have Juan. He is on line 3. He's going to have to go first, which puts him at a little bit of a disadvantage to not get to hear somebody else play first. So we're going to give him his choice of competitor or partners. Do you want to go with Chip this morning or Dave, the King of Mexico, who's always terrible?
Which one of us do you want?
Oh, just don't go with Dave.
I'm going to go with Dave the King of Mexico.
Ah, wow.
Sucker.
This is going to be a case where a brown man should not have stuck with another brown man. You're going to regret that decision.
You lose, sir. Good day.
All right. 45 seconds on the clock. Remember, all of your answers are going to be the names of NBA teams. And by the way, if you're just drawing a blank, if Dave's clues aren't working for you, you have no idea, you can pass. And then if you still have time at the end, you can go back to it, okay?
Okay.
All right. Good luck, Juan.
Thank you.
Dave, ready? Open the sheet. Dave has not looked yet.
All right. This is on a basketball rim. Come on.
Okay.
This is on the back of a boot for a cowboy. Come on.
Oh, man.
They spin. They're sharp.
Nope.
Come on, dude. All right, pass. All right, this is hot. It comes off of fire.
The Miami Heat.
All right. This is a bird with talons.
I couldn't hear you on that one.
Are you serious? They go,
Krah! Oh, no. This is terrible.
Yeah. You well, are terrible, yeah. Sir. All right. The last one is a boat. It's a boat.
All right.
Oh, my Lord.
Juan.
Right.
Juan, you could be the worst contestant we've ever had on Title Fight.
You know what sport we're talking about, right?
He just got Juan right.
So, you know, you find it on a basketball rim. He was looking for the net. We were looking for the nets. The back of the boot is Spurs. You know, you got the Heat. The bird he was talking about was the Hawks. I mean, those were pretty decent clues, Dave. I think that was on you, Juan.
I told the wrong brown man.
Yeah, no. You did. Yeah, okay. No. All right.
You hold on. Bad contestant.
You are still in the running, Juan, because we don't know. Maybe Jesse won't get any right, and you miraculously will win. But
Jesse,
so hold
please
on.
Get him right.
It's not likely, but let's see how Jesse does in San Fernando. He's on line 5, and he's up next.
Hey, Jesse.
What up, Jesse? Jesse, you ready with your girl, Chip?
Yep.
You got to beat one.
You got to beat one, Manny. How are you feeling?
You got to beat one.
I got to beat one. All right. I got to beat one on one?
You got to be one. Let's just go. All right. Chip, open the paper.
All right.
And go.
All right. So chicken, you get this at McDonald's. They come in like 6-piece, 8-piece. You can get sauce with them. Pass. All right. What comes with lightning when there's storms and you hear a noise, rumbles?
Thunder.
All right. This is a bird with a big pouch on their throat. You can put a bunch of fish in there.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner. We have a winner. Thunder and Pelicans, the one you didn't get was the Nuggets. That's what she was talking about getting at McDonald's, the Nuggets. All right, so that was well played anyway, although it wasn't that tough to beat Juan. Jesse, congratulations.
You know
You're
what?
You're going to be seeing the Clippers. What?
I bet Juan wishes he had Jesse's girl.
Jesse, we want you to go see the Clippers and the Mavericks at Staples Center tomorrow night. We'll also do a grand prize drawing tomorrow to upgrade your seats. If you win that, the VIP Valley Parking, Lexus Courtside Club, Hyde Lounge, and the Halftime Fan Tunnel. All that could be yours, but at least you're going to the game. Thanks for playing the Title Fight.
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's Title Fight.
I'd feel better if we had something to play here, and yet we sort of don't. Because Chip is bad. There we go.
Step in, folks.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:51.
Bruce Mother Effin Campbell joins us in studio. Coming up right after 8 here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Ralph's here now. Time for the showbiz beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
I have something to make up for what happened earlier.
That wasn't our fault. That was Juan's fault.
Then what did Juan leave all that dead air in after the game? Was that on Juan?
That was a miscommunication between members of our team.
Oh, okay. Keep spinning. Keep spinning your plate, son. Just as long as you believe it, that's all that matters. Let me make up all that to the listeners who are still with us. How about going to Kamikaze this weekend?
Yay!
Stanley's Kamikaze Expo. You can trust me when I say this because you know I'm a geek. Truly one of the great Comic-Cons and pop culture expos going today. It's happening this weekend at the L.A. Convention Center. It's going to be great, not only for the cosplay. Some of the best cosplay happens at Kamikaze, in my opinion. In fact, they're having the Cosplay National Championship this weekend. But the guests include Carrie Fisher.
Freaking huge.
Princess Leia will be there for you to meet, greet, get autographs, what have you. The great legendary Stan Lee himself, of course, will be there. Grant Morrison. One of my favorite comic writers. Dita Von Teese and Shell Nichols, Lieutenant Uhura from Star Trek, will be there. It's going to be a great event. It's happening all weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this weekend. KamikazeExpo.com is where you can go for more information and for tickets. Or you can call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through at that number get a pair of three-day passes. You get to go to the entire weekend at your leisure for this weekend's Kamikaze at the L.A. Convention Center.
So, I'm sorry. I don't speak geek.
Oh. Oh. How dare you. Speaking of geeks, Kevin Smith and I are doing Hollywood Babylon down in Orange County this weekend, Friday night to be exact, at the Improv in Irvine, California. We're going to be celebrating Halloween as well as Hollywood. No. Because it is the Halloween Eve. So come on out and dress up. Put on your favorite costume because we're giving out prizes for our favorite costumes that night. I will be dressed as well. I'm not telling.
You'll be dressed as?
You'll know on Monday what I dressed as because the police will have lots of photographs of me. I'm sure. So go to improv.com. Click on Irvine if you'd like to come out and see us on Friday night. That guy's just not coming.
It's true.
No.
This is good news. Sherilyn Fenn. Love her. Of course, from Twin Peaks. She's just been added to the cast of Showtime's Shameless this season. She's going to play an old friend of William H. Macy's character, Frank. I would say old girlfriend, but not really a girlfriend. Turns out they just had some time together on top of a washing machine when they're both high on mushrooms when they were both 16.
Like you do?
Like you do. This particular encounter, however, results in a daughter, Sammy. And Sherilyn Fenn will play that lady. So I'm glad to see she's being added to the cast. In movie news, Elizabeth Banks has been tapped to come back and direct yet another Pitch Perfect movie. She'll be directing Pitch Perfect 3. Anna Kendrick, Brittany Snow, and Rebel Wilson have already signed to return for the sequel. Banks will also host Saturday Night Live on November the 14th. She's getting quite a little directing career for herself, this Miss Elizabeth Banks. While we're talking about movies, there is a film about the game Monopoly in the works.
Nope.
Now, look, I know initially at first blush you may say, there's no movie in the game Monopoly.
Right.
However, I would say to you, sir, what if it was about the behind the scenes, the creation of and fascinating story about the world's favorite board game? What if it was sort of a biopic about what happened and how it was created and all the shenanigans that went on therein?
Can I still be a no?
No!
No! No!
This is going to be fascinating. It's from the folks who did Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh.
And it's based on a book called The Monopolists, Obsession, Fury, and the Scandal Behind the World's Favorite Board Game.
No! No!
Oh, come on.
No!
Man. Why you got to be like that? It's Monopoly!
I mean, was this one of those deals where somebody stole somebody's idea and there were lawsuits?
Yes, infighting and battling and hatred and anger and fisticuffs.
No! No! No!
I think I've been won over. I think I'm in now.
No, I apparently a lot of no's going on.
Do you guys play Monopoly?
Do I?
Yeah.
I have. I haven't recently. I can't remember the last time I played Monopoly, but I used to play a bunch when I was a kid.
It's a kid thing mostly.
Not really. It's like a family thing. Usually.
If I couldn't be the Scotty dog, I was out. Like if someone picked that, I'm like, I ain't being the thimble.
No.
You throw a tantrum.
Yeah, absolutely.
Scotty dog blue.
He was awesome.
Over the race car?
Over the race car.
Oh, yeah.
I was just going to say, race car's number one.
No
race
way.
Car's definitely number one.
Race car's number one, and then top hat.
Top hat.
Then top hat.
Correct.
Top hat number two.
Then iron.
Shut
then
up.
Iron. I'm not even looking at the Scotty dog unless those three pieces are gone.
You're insane, sir. You're
Scotty
insane.
Scotty dog, weakest of all the Monopoly
and
races.
Iron.
Iron rocked. One of them old school irons, too.
See, this movie just writes itself, you guys. That was an actual conversation they must have had at the time they were creating the game.
Listen to the fury and anger created just by talking about playing the game, let alone creating it. Bruce Campbell, of course, coming in moments. Couldn't be more.
He has
exciting.
Arrived, by the way. He is in the building.
Is he here?
Yes.
I knew the room and the building felt a little bit cooler.
Yeah.
I could tell he was in the vicinity. One of the greats in the horror genre, fantasy
Agreed.
Genre. I mean, the work that he's done, just remarkable. I just want to say how excited I am.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I'm not mistaken.
You are actually right.
And for once, you would be right about someone you were talking
First
about.
First time ever.
I don't believe Bruce actually has the hand. I believe his character Ash may. But
how did he lose his hand?
He had to cut it off. because of the evil therein. Come on, Bean.
Come on, man.
You're going to talk to Bruce Campbell? You? The guy who doesn't even know how Ash lost his hand?
I don't remember. It's been a long time since I've seen the movie. That's all.
Do you remember the part where he fights evil?
Yes, I remember that part.
All right.
Do you remember that the evil was dead?
Yes, the evil was dead. Okay, that is accurate as well. Yes.
Well, at least you've got the basics. No good can come from this conversation. We're going to get like, what did you do back then in the Slither time? We're going to get one of those kind of questions. Like he asked Elizabeth Banks. How
dare you.
Yeah, I was just thinking the other day, since it's the season and the horror movies and whatnot, my very first appearance on film ever, and I forgot all about this until the other day, was in a slasher film called The Prowler, which is the one, my one and only time as an extra in a movie. And I was an extra in this scene, and it was a horror film called The Prowler that was shot in New Jersey when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And I was desperate to be an actor, and so I signed up to be an extra in The Prowler. And someone just recently sent me a copy, a DVD copy of The Prowler, and I had never seen it before.
Really?
And there I am, larger than life, right in front of the scene. You see me like a half a dozen times.
Will you screen cap that so we can put it up?
I will do that. I will.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
But
how was your hair?
Oh, spectacular. No, I was at a flashback sequence. It was about this slasher murderer.
Who's on the prowl?
He was a prowler. Uh-huh. What he was. He was a deadly prowler. And the murders start in 1945 at the end of the Second World War. And so there's this big prom high school dance scene. And so all of us were in 40s garb, and they had to cut our hair and slicked it back and stuff. And so I looked bitchin'.
But you still were wearing that leather jacket,
How
right?
How dare you, sir?
We'll be the judge of bitchin'.
No, had a white tuxedo coat.
Wow.
Like James Bond. Sort of. And we were all dancing big band music, and they had to teach us how to do big band dancing.
But
swing dancing.
There's no way that can be good.
It was nothing but good.
How's the movie, Ralph?
Some of my best work ever, I think. The movie is your standard slasher fare.
All right.
You know, this was in the heyday of, Friday the 13th and all that kind of good stuff. So
it was competent.
Legendary Tom Savini, who did all the special effects for a lot of those films. He did the effects for this one, too, and it's pretty good. The guy was spooky. He wore, like, a World War I helmet and a gas mask, and he killed people with a pitchfork. So there was a lot of running through of people and blood spurting and whatnot.
But, sounds like my kind of movie.
Yeah. You would enjoy it, I think, Kevin.
Yep.
A lot of death. A lot of death.
Did you die?
No. I wasn't important enough to die.
Okay.
It took me years to finally start dying in
be able
movies.
To die?
Yeah. I was just an extra. Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Frank Ocean is 28 years old today. Actor Matt Smith. Doctor Who himself for a little while.
Now he's on sports radio with our friend Petros.
Oh, Gilligan. He's 33 years old today. Joaquin Phoenix celebrates his 41st birthday. Julia Roberts is 48. She's still a good deal right there. Bill Gates turned 60. Caitlyn Jenner, she is 66 years old today. And actor Dennis Franz, you know him best from NYPD Blue. He's 71 years old today. I know him best from that time Kevin met him on a red carpet event and tried to ask him a question about his butt.
Franz Ferdinand, he's going to be night number
no,
two.
No, Rodney. Oh, no, it's wrong. Dennis Franz, not Franz Ferdinand. Rodney.
Oh, sorry.
Look, We wanted to, when you were coming up, the first, we said, what should we ask Dennis Franz?
Down, what?
We said, I'm trying to figure out how to ask this in a nice way. Maybe I better just not ask it. We're going to talk about your ass some more, but maybe we won't. Any more nakedness on your part on NYPD Blue coming up
I
this
hope
year?
I hope not.
Yeah. Dennis Franz, that's Chicago, right?
Yeah,
there.
I hope not, too.
Yeah.
I think that's the last thing any of us want.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did the right thing.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Here's the best plan for Halloween night you're going to hear all week long. The Stars Channel at 9 p.m. for Ash versus Evil Dead. Bruce Campbell is here. Listen to this.
30 years ago, my friends and I spent the night at a cabin. We found the Necronomicon Ex Mortis, the Book of the Dead. Certain passages were recited. It awoke something in the woods, something evil. I was the only one to escape. But now, the evil has found me.
First thing I gotta do is see a guy about a book. There must be some spell I can say to undo all this.
The other first thing I gotta do is some cardio, because my heart is jackhammering like a quarterback on prom night.
He is an ageless, timeless wonder. Oh, Bruce Campbell back on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Forget about it. Good morning, everyone. Good morning.
He was mouthing every word to that.
I saw it. That's incredible.
I've seen it once or twice before.
Bruce, are you surprised at the enduring love for this character in this franchise? The fact that the fans have practically demanded that you find some way to bring it back.
Nope.
Nope. All right.
No.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah. Good night, everybody. The reason is because these savages have been tormenting me since 1988. That was my first convention. Okay. When I used to go for free. Hey, look, convention. This is exciting. Even then, we had just made Evil Dead Part 2 a couple of years before that, and they were like, when's the next one? And Sam Raimi explained he just did Spider-Man movies. They made $1 billion. What do people want to know? When's the next Evil Dead movie?
Yeah.
Same with me. Burn Notice. 7 years on cable. It was the number one for a couple of years. When's the next Evil Dead movie? It's like, that's great. We don't really care about anything else you're interested in your life. Your personal life, nothing. Your professional life, here's what you must do or we will not stop tormenting you. So
this is just you guys giving in to say stop.
Yeah,
stop
I can't
us?
Fight City Hall anymore. I can't take it. So finally, we just... We're gonna give them exactly what they want. Because a few years ago, we did a remake. People thought, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, it was pretty good.
That'll do.
Yeah, but it was, they were slightly disappointed. Mm. I thought it was a good movie. We wanted to give them something. Mm-hmm. Sam Raimi's making these giant Hollywood movies. You know, he wasn't around. And so I think television caught up with us. Because now you have these premium channels. You never had the ability before to do whatever you want beyond the dreaded standards and practices.
Right.
If Evil Dead was on cable, this would be, what's over there? Oh, that's horrible. I'll describe it to you. I mean, can you imagine? Or on broadcast, you couldn't say anything. You couldn't do anything. So the first two Evil Dead movies were unrated. They are like Mustangs that need to be unbridled. They need to run free. And so people go, where's another one in the theater? Well, that would be R-rated. It wouldn't be unrated.
Right.
So, and if it was on most of television, it would be also have some kind of rating. Well, Starz, thankfully, said, well, we don't have that issue. We were like, what do you mean?
They said it like Elvis?
Well, so just like that, baby. Anything you want to do, baby, just come on, step in there. Do it. Pacha! So we made the deal with them because they really seemed to be the most open to whatever was going to happen.
Yeah, sex if you want it, language, blood, guts, special
the Evil
effects.
Dead movies have never been really sexy. Mostly just fountains of blood pouring from every orifice.
I don't know. I think your landlady in the trailer park is pretty sexy, Bruce. That's not. Don't get me started on her, but
you
she's a good-looking lady.
She was hitting on me, too, when we were shooting.
How could
and
she
it's
not?
A little awkward because I'm like, lady, I'm trying to deliver my lines and create a role. She didn't understand my process.
Yeah.
Well, they
I can see that.
The 80-year-olds love you, Bruce. You know that. it is great. And we're talking about Ash vs. Evil Dead, which again is on Starz Halloween night, 9:00. How old were you and Sam and your other partner when you guys when you guys originally made the Evil Dead movie?
21.
21 years
old. I was 21,
old.
Sam was 20. And then Rob Tapper was the old man at 24. We had to help him on set every day.
And was it a big moneymaker at the time, or was it one of those that just grew in stature and eventually started really paying you back?
That one did okay. Of all the three movies, we went in a reverse direction of popularity.
Okay.
Evil Dead was second only to E.T. when it opened in Europe. It wound up being the number one video in 83. We beat The Shining.
Oh, my gosh.
We beat Stanley Kubrick.
How about that?
Eat it, Stan. I got to tell you, that was a sweet moment. I'm just saying, people, you can't gloat about beating Stanley Kubrick. Are you out of your tree? We cost $385,000. Stanley Kubrick's The Shining, you know, his masterpiece. We destroyed it. So it started there, and it did do very well.
Let's talk about that first one.
Yeah.
It seems like the most difficult thing in the world to do is to do horror with comedy.
Yeah, but don't forget, we were not sophisticated enough to put the tongue firmly in our cheek. Mm-hmm. That was a melodrama. We thought horror films are serious. But if you have a line of dialogue like, we can't bury Shelley, she's a friend of ours. It's just, how do you deliver that? I couldn't do that today. I couldn't nail that line today. I'll try.
All right.
We can't Mary Shelley. She's a friend of ours. I mean, that's a modern
day.
That's
not bad.
I liked it.
You
know,
that
wasn't
bad.
Good.
It's about the best that I could do, though.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. And that's really being a great actor.
Right. Now.
So this is what happened. The first one, I think, was so over the top. Uh-huh. The violence was blood was over the top. And so were the non-performances. And, you know, it was hokey.
Uh-huh.
Part two, a few years later, after our second movie bombed, so we went, I guess we've got to do another Evil Dead movie.
You figured out Hollywood pretty fast.
Yeah, well, you do that when your second movie bombs and you think you may never work ever again. So we got a guy, Scott Spiegel, who co-wrote it, who was a big fan of the Three Stooges. So the tone of the movie was definitely different. We had a little more cash to do it, and we had a little more experience. So we did sort of splatstick.
Splatstick?
Yeah.
I like it.
That's a great name for it.
Carnage and Mayhem with a little dose of sugar. And so that seemed to play okay, and that movie broke even before we started shooting. We were in prop. Rob Tapper, the producer, walked on set. Hey, we're in profit. And then he turned around and walked out. We're like, nice. Well, let's go home. Right. What's for lunch?
We don't have to finish?
But we never really heard about how well it did beyond that. They sort of pre-sold it everywhere.
Okay.
Then Army of Darkness was the last of the three, made by Universal. And it bombed.
Why, Bruce?
Why? Because it was made for $13 million, and it made $13 million. And, well, I'm not a mathematician, but I think that's not the way to go to keep the franchise alive.
Right.
So it died. It sank like a stone.
And here we are, what, died. 23 years later or something like that, and you figured out a way that works financially.
Well, no, the animals have figured out a way to keep supporting it because the whole DVD thing came in. A company in Michigan called Anchor Bay, they took all these movies and they sort of sub-licensed them from big distributors, and they made them interesting. Because Universal went, this is a DVD, must put it out like a widget, boom, burp, 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 so that accounting will understand what a widget is. So that's what they did.
Right.
And it did okay. But then Anchor Bay came in, sub-licensed it, did the interviews, the missing scenes, the storyboards, the making of, the interviews.
Gave the fans what they wanted.
They did. And then it went insane. And Universal called them up and were like, we would like our subcontract back. We're like, wait a second, let me get this straight. For being lazy SOBs, and you got nothing out of this deal, we finally give the fans what they want. Now you want it, but now you're going to wake up? So they really nailed it. They did 87 versions of Army of Darkness. Mm-hmm. Director's version, the editor's version, the production assistant's version. They did a lot of versions. And so that kind of kept it alive.
Okay.
I go to conventions every year. Me and Shatner, man, we're like the Willie Loman of conventions. Sure. Hey, Bill.
Well, that's the big
hey,
two
Bruce,
names right there.
What's going on? How you doing, man? Get out there, Bill. Do it. And these guys are amazing, by the way. Shatner's, what, 84?
Yeah.
Stan Lee's 106, I think, now.
Yeah.
And Stan Lee's very ring-a-ding-ding. Hey, baby. The guy's awesome. He's a playboy.
Yeah, he's never
maybe
never
I might
lost.
Find some broads around here. Whoa. Man, that guy's on fire. When he's
every
not,
time we
when
have
he's
on
not
the
asleep
show,
in the green room.
Well, there's that.
Every year, Bruce, we have Mr. Lee on the show, and we're amazed. He is. He's in his 90s right now. We're amazed at how sharp he is and how enthusiastic he is.
He likes what he does. You
he's
know.
Still in love with his business.
But I learned a great lesson from these guys. If you stop getting out of bed in the morning, you're dead.
So
these guys,
stop.
I'm like, what are you doing? Well, what else am I going to do? Be a crappy golfer? You know, you got to go to the. You got to have a reason to get out of bed.
Got to work, and you got to love it. And you still seem like you love what you do too, Bruce.
I do. You got to find the right scenarios, which is why I'm going to Auckland, New Zealand, to do this show. My buddy Rob Tappert's there. Sam Raimi directed the pilot. We have the amazing Lucy Lawless as part of our cast, who I got to try and pursue her 20 years ago as Autolycus on Xena. Mm-hmm. And so I knew when we were shooting there, it's like, Rob, call your wife, please, like at dinner tonight. Can you give her a part? And so she's on board. And that's just been great working with the people that you like and that you know.
Right.
Well, let me put a pause on this for 1 second. We've got to take a quick break, come back. Yeah, we'll talk some more about Ash versus Evil Dead, Halloween night. That's this Saturday on Stars. The legend, Bruce Campbell, is here. We'll be right back on K-Rock. The lovely ladies are in costume or in bikinis. Tell me about that car wash. What's happening with that car wash?
I don't know. All I could see was Bruce Campbell dancing to that commercial. And that,
sure. Why not? Hey, Bruce Campbell is here, executive producer and actor for Ash versus Evil Dead, premiering the first of 10 episodes this Saturday night on Stars. Ash is he a happy man, Bruce?
He's happy when no one's bugging him,
right?
He's happy when he has no responsibility,
because he hates his job.
When he's greased up a little bit.
Yeah, he does enjoy his liquor a little bit.
His inhalants. He's got a little bit of that going.
Is he a reluctant hero? Like, he knows he's the only guy who has the stills to keep the Evil Dead down, but he doesn't cherish that, right?
This is more complicated than that. Ash has not been recruited back into this. He caused this again.
Right.
So he has to do this.
Stupid trying to impress a chick.
Yeah, guys, don't stop doing that. Stop doing that. It didn't work in the 70s. It's not going to work now. Let's smoke some reefer and read from a really creepy book. Don't do it.
Don't do that.
Don't go to your library and ask for the Necronomicon. And don't see your pot dealer after. Just don't do any of that.
So he's basically forced back into business.
He is, right when he just really wants to go to sleazy bars and lie to chicks about how he lost his right hand.
Mm-hmm. That's a great pickup line, though, by the way. If you make up the right story, that's going to work.
It worked. Well, clearly, those of you who saw the opening few minutes, did work.
Yes.
You can say pickup line all you want.
Mm-hmm.
Success.
He does some spanking with the wooden hand. I'm just going to say that.
Kevin, you walked in. I don't know if I've ever seen you so excited. When you explained the love scene and some spanking with a wooden hand, it changed your life.
When you spank with a wooden hand, I mean, that's special.
Right?
It's rosewood. It was made by Italian artisans.
How'd you like working with a chainsaw again, Bruce?
Did not like the chainsaw. Chainsaw and I have had issues over the years, just as Fake Blood and I have had issues.
I was going to ask about that, because there's so much of that on
now,
the show.
No, I want a divorce.
Is that uncomfortable? You get splattered a lot. Is that uncomfortable?
Well, it's like a Laurel and Hardy gag. You get a little drop of blood on your finger, and then you touch your ear. And then later in the day, you touch your ear and grab your glass of water. Now it's on a glass of water. Then you pick it up with your other hand. Now your other finger has it on a glass of water, and you touch your other ear. Then you scratch your nose, you pick your nose. Then your nose sticks shut because the sticky crap inside your nose makes your nose, you know,
right.
It never ends.
Yeah.
Maybe this isn't the role for you.
It is the role
for me. Okay,
all right. Because out of torment comes great artistry.
Amen.
We all know that, but I just had to cover my trailer like your grandma does, where she covers the furniture with plastic.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
All right, come on in. And everyone's like...
Bruce, you mentioned that the fans, no matter how many years have gone by since the last appearance of Ash, they always demand more. You seem to take that in great stride. You seem to appreciate the fact that they love you as character so much. Is there something you wanted to play that you didn't get to, you think, because of this?
No, you can't ever play that wannabe game as an actor, because then you have a bunch of sour grapes. Why didn't I ever play King Lear? Because you can't do it. That's what I tell myself. So it's okay. You have to. I don't play that game too much. I'd rather take the thing that's given to me, some would say a lump of crap, and mold that into whatever it is. That's the only thing that's real. Beyond that, you know, Marty Scorsese, are you listening, Marty, out there? Let's throw down. Let's do a picture together, Marty. You know, you think that's going to work?
I don't think he's listening either.
Bob De Niro, are you out there, Bob?
He listens. He's listening.
Bob,
sure.
I've always wanted to do a light comedy with you. Bob, are you out there?
So I can
say what I want. No. No, because I think Robert De Niro is going, who's the badass with that chainsaw shotgun combination?
Yeah, why don't I have that?
Why don't I get that? And he's screaming at his agent because no one looks that cool. So
that's
maybe
right.
That's happening. Maybe it is.
Maybe it is.
If that's the case, season two is going to be very quiet for you.
Oh, Kevin.
Well, look at the time.
Right? That was uncalled for.
Wow. Way to kick a man when he's...
I thought we were all going that direction.
No, we weren't.
No, you led the charge in a different direction.
All right, listen. Ash vs. Evil Dead airs this Saturday night on Starz. When are we going to see your appearance as President Ronald Reagan on Fargo on FX?
Well, great question. Well, we're doing everything we can to lock a date down.
Okay.
I think I'm in episode 5.
Is that awesome? Do you love it?
Yes, because who would not want to play Ronald Reagan?
Sure.
Are you kidding me?
And the series has been incredible so far. Season 2, every bit as good as season 1.
I got nervous, though, working on that show.
How come?
Well, I'm not an Emmy guy.
I beg to differ.
I'm not a Golden Globe kind of guy. So you get on that show, and I'm like, these are writers where you can't just put a button on, yeah, we'll shoot him in the face. You know what I mean? You can't. It's not like that. Where I'll finish the speech and go, hey, you know, or do a spit take. They would go, no, you're not doing
In other words,
that.
You've got to be a professional actor when you show up on Fargo.
I taped myself at first. I cut a little movie together. I went to a little studio and shot it because I'm like, if you guys think I suck, you get fire me now because this is how I'm going to do it.
This is the best I can do.
This is all
this is
I
who
got.
I am. Okay.
All I got. And I'm going to give you the chance to fire me if you think it's like, uh-oh, big mistake with Campbell.
Well, I love what they're doing on Fargo.
Let's get Tim Allen.
And I love, Brad Garrett is playing it straight, and he's terrific on this season so far.
But see, that's the crazy thing about actors. See, they're just actors. They're not who they play that was famous.
What?
You know what I mean? I'm sorry. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. Brad Garrett, I'll bet he's a serious guy. What do you think about that?
He's not.
No? Okay. Well... Well, crap, there goes that theory.
Sorry to go the other direction again. But.
Bruce, what's going on tonight at the Chinese Theater?
We're going to blow the doors off that place.
Tonight's the premiere. You're actually showing, what, the first two episodes of Ash vs. Evil Dead in the theater?
Oh, showing one anyway. I know
one.
That
one, okay,
sure.
All right.
And
7
we're
going to
show once for the invitees and then once for the savages.
All right.
They can then come in. And we're going to have two big screenings at the Chinese because, you know, they only show classy stuff.
Right.
So.
Right.
We said,
so this makes sense.
They said, where would you want to go with this? I said, I think there's only one place. So I'm glad that I can go while I'm not. I can star in a show while I'm not in a walker, and I can walk that red line still. You
fans
know?
Are invited to come down to the premiere tonight at the TCL Chinese Theater at 7
they
o'clock.
Are.
Apparently,
come on
Iggy
down.
Pop will be performing.
Iggy,
I'm not
please
sure.
come down and watch Iggy blow the doors off the place. He's gonna perform, I think, a group of songs. And then we've agreed to do a fist fight immediately after the show.
It's okay, good.
It's a cage match supervised by the WWE.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Bruce Campbell, we love you. Congratulations on the show. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We are going to open up the phone lines right now here on the Kevin Bean Show. If you are a James Bond fan, Bruce, who's your favorite Bond of all the actors who have played the role?
Well, yes, of course, Moneypenny. There's only one true choice.
All right.
One man among men, and that's Sean. Sorry, everyone else. Sorry.
I think we agree with you.
Sloppy seconds, everyone else.
If you want to see Daniel Craig as 007, we got a Kirok screening a couple days before the official opening on the 6th. You get to see it on the 4th on the Sony Pictures lot. You can call right now. If you're a Bond fan, we'll give you a chance to earn those tickets. 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you next on Kirok.
106.7 Kirok is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:39.
K-Rap, you should call it. Crap. I heard your show. I heard your station.
Why are you so negative every time you come on, Sean Connery? Why are you
because
so...
Because I'm old and everything hurts.
Okay. And you're...
Especially my vas deferens.
Oh. Okay, but that's not our fault. Is it?
You tell me, sailor.
Listen, I'm glad you're here, Sean, because you will forever be associated with the James Bond franchise.
Yes,
you're, of course,
I will.
The first movie James Bond. And
the best, many say.
Well, Daniel Craig is a great James Bond, and we're very excited about Spectre. Comes out everywhere November 6th. You can see it 2 days early on the 4th on the Sony Pictures backlot. We're playing a game right now at 1-800-520-1067. This one's called Bond Girls.
Bond Girls are forever. You can't tame them, you can't own them. You can't date them, you can't bone them. But James Bond always did back when you were a kid, and he still does.
That's right.
How about the guy singing that song? Is he a pansy too?
No, that's a man right there. You can hear it in his voice. Was that Tom Jones who did Thunderball? One of my favorite themes?
We've got listeners on hold. They know the topic is Bond girls. Explain how the game works, please.
I'm going to talk about one of the James Bond girls from the Bond films. Then you have to tell me what movie that Bond girl was in.
Oh, all right. That sounds
By the way, keep in mind, I nailed all of these girls.
Every one of them.
Every one of them. Wreck them.
All right, so if you name the
movie... I put a few in the hospital.
Wow. Oh.
Name the movie, you get to see Spectre on November 4th. Kevin, who's our first contestant?
We have David in Riverside. Hi, David.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, David. Here's your Bond girl. Plenty O'Toole worked at the casino floor at the White House Hotel and Casino and became acquainted with James Bond, hoping to earn some profit for her assistance, if you will. Plenty O'Toole was her name, named after her father, no doubt.
Father was a no doubt.
What James Bond movie is Plenty O'Toole the Bond girl for?
I'll say From Russia with Love.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Hang up on yourself, David. Diamonds Are Forever.
Okay.
All right.
One of my favorite films that I made, my last Bond film I made for Broccoli, Cubby Broccoli.
All right.
Lana Wood played Plenty O'Toole.
Okay.
Huge fun bags. Natural, too.
All right.
Take my word for it.
Do you mind if we move on?
Worked them like a speed bag. Buttica, 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 buttica,
buttica, buttica, buttica, buttica, buttica, buttica, buttica, buttica.
Ryan is in Burbank. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, I'm ready.
All right. Honey Ryder is widely regarded as the first Bond girl, known for her entrance emerging from the sea in a white bikini with two huge seashells. Honey Ryder.
Yeah, she's from Dr. No.
That's right, Dr. No. Another of my great films.
You won tickets. Congratulations.
Wrecked her, too, by the way.
Okay. Another of your great conquests, too, it sounds like.
Let's go to Ed in Los Angeles. Hi, Ed.
Hey there.
Vesper Lynd is a foreign liaison agent from Her Majesty's Treasury, but she's also a secret double agent working for Quantum in this film.
Vesper Lynd.
For Your Majesty's Secret Service.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Casino Royale. Casino Royale was the film with that pansy Daniel Craig.
Thanks for playing. He's a great James
Bond. Oh, look at me in my tight little bathing suit. Oh, look at me. I've spent a lot of time working out with all the fellas at the YMCA. By working out, I mean showering.
Right, we know.
Okay.
All right. Keith in Huntington Beach. Hi.
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
He's hairless, too, not a hair on his body.
You just don't give an F at this point at 85 years old. You just say whatever comes to your mind, right?
I just speak the truth.
Okay. All right. We got another contestant on the line. This is Keith. Let's hear his Bond girl.
Solitaire is a psychic in the employ of Dr. Kananga. The one drawback to her ability is that she must remain a virgin in order to preserve it. What film was she in?
Oh, I really wish I would have got the last one because that was the Bond girl I picked.
Yes.
So this is tough. So I'm just going to go with throw a random one out there. Is it Goldfinger?
No, Solitaire was in Live and Let Die.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. And that was the real plot, though, is that she had to stay a virgin in order to
in
keep
order
her
to,
psychic
in
abilities?
Order to be a psychic. And then, of course, James Bond bangs the crap out of her, and she can't see the future anymore.
Was it worth it, though?
She could barely see the past when he was done with her. She was a vegetable.
We've only given away one pair.
Why are people stupid?
Well, these are tough questions.
Hardly.
These are
famous broads from movies that James Bond knocked the boots with.
All right, let's try Trey in Orange. Hi, Trey.
What did you guys?
Trey, don't disappoint me. Dr. Christmas Jones is a young American nuclear physicist working in Kazakhstan in this James Bond film.
That's The World Is Not Enough.
Boom. There that's what go. I'm talking about.
Well done.
Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah,
how light in the loafers is he?
You like him, though. Pierce Brosnan, you like him.
Drunken Irishman.
Okay. All right, let's try to give away a couple
set
more
up some more bombs,
here.
You Mick bastard.
let's not keep it political. Come
let's
on,
go man. To Caitlin and Colton. Hi, Caitlin.
Hey.
Caitlin, here's your question.
Okay.
Pussy Galore is a villainous expert pilot. Even
Goldfinger.
Yes, Goldfinger.
Goldfinger.
Yes.
Well done.
All right, next up.
Right. You know why they call that movie Goldfinger?
Let's go to Adam in Azusa. Yeah. Hi, Adam.
Has to do with me and Pussy Galore.
All right, we don't want to hear about it.
Hey, Adam.
I think you do.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
Here's your question. Xena Onatopp is a former...
Goldeneye.
That's right.
Fantastic. All right.
You know
why
they call
count.
That movie Goldeneye?
Say move on, Steven.
That's to do with my eye.
Is that four we've given away? We got
yes.
one more? All right, let's just play one more. We're almost out of
time.
We've
got one more question left.
All right, Steven and Whittier. Hi.
Hello.
All right, Steven. Teresa Dracco, also known as Contessa Teresa DiVincenzo, is the only Bond girl to ever marry 007 in a movie.
That's his widow.
That's right. In what film?
I don't know. The Spy Who Loved Me?
That was sort of pathetic.
It really was.
Damn it.
No, I'm sorry. On Her Majesty's Secret Service is when
James Bond got married.
Yeah.
Yes. I
know what you meant.
All right.
Here's what I mean.
Thanks to everybody for playing the
work
game.
Work on my bagpipes.
Go see Spectre when it opens on the 6th. Thanks, Sean Connery.
Oh, whatever.
Bond girls are forever.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
And it's our old friend Adam Carolla joining us just after 9 this morning on K-Rock. Rob is here now. Time for the showbiz beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
Well, I feel bad. This, you know, it's hard. An actor's life is hard sometimes because you work from gig to gig.
Right.
And you get a series or something, especially in television. You get a series and you're just waiting for that renewal notice. You just want them to come back to you and say, hey, guess what? Good news. You're working for another season. You can buy that condo. You can get the sports car. You can repair your hot tub. You know,
or you can pay your mortgage.
Life's necessities.
Yeah. Sure.
One man's necessities is another man's bean. Right?
I don't know what that means either.
But here's the thing. HBO comes to Jack Black and Tim Robbins and says, we love The Brink. Oh, The Brink. It's so funny. Love that Sunday night comedy. You've been approved. You have been greenlit for a second season. Congratulations, boys. Pop the champagne. Then they came back this week and said, ah, no.
What?
That rarely happens. Rarely do you get the order for the second season and then have a network come back and say, nah, we thought about it, and second thought, no.
Wow. I've never heard of that.
I haven't either. HBO's statement said, we unfortunately decided we cannot give The Brink the attention it deserves for a second season. Boy, is that a passive-aggressive cancellation. It's us. It's not you, The Brink. It's us.
we're too busy.
We're not good enough for you. We can't give you the attention you need, The Brink. You deserve a better network who can give all their love and attention to you. We're going to be over here boning True Detective. We are proud of the first season, they say, and wish everyone involved in the show the very best as we stab them in the back. So,
look, I like a lot of the actors on that show, particularly Jack Black, of course, but I didn't love it. I didn't think it was great. What'd you guys
see?
Think?
You're part of the problem, you son of a bitch. You're part of the problem.
What'd you guys think?
I loved it.
Loved it.
Truth.
I married it.
Allie, did you like The Brink?
I love Tim Robbins so much.
I thought it was very funny. I thought it was clever and funny and political and smart and too good for HBO.
Screw you,
you're better
you,
off,
HBO.
The Brink. Go find someone else new who loves you.
Like Showtime.
The Brink.
All right.
Here's good news. You know how much I love that kids' movie Paddington. Just announced there will be a sequel to Paddington. The producers have just hired Paul King, the first movie's writer and director, to do a sequel about the adorable little talking bear there in England. That film made almost $300 million worldwide, by the way.
Wow.
Wildly successful film. And was awesome. If you haven't seen it, you've got kids. Hell, even if you don't have kids, it's great stuff. You will enjoy.
And the Peanuts movie. See that, too.
Do not see that.
See both of those things. See Paddington and then go see the Peanuts movie.
I've heard watching the Peanuts movie gives you eye syphilis.
I don't think that's true at all.
It is true.
I don't even think that's a thing.
It is. Mm. Yeah. Sad.
I don't think so.
It is sad.
Yeah, but
sad.
I don't think so.
What
you
if
don't
the
think
penis
it's
sad?
I don't think it's sad when you get eye syphilis. I think it's sad. Kevin doesn't think it's sad. Kevin wants everyone to have STDs of the eyes, but not me.
I don't think it exists.
You get eye clap, they call it.
What if the Peanuts movie is great?
It will be. What do you mean, what if?
Well, I'm asking Ralph. I mean, look, you're so automatically against
are
it.
Are the
what
Peanuts
going
to be in it? Are the Peanuts characters going to be in the film?
Yes.
Then there's no chance it's going to be great.
Charlie Brown is
no
trying
sense.
To work up the courage to talk to the little red-haired girl.
Oh,
he loves
wow,
her
that's
so
fresh.
Much.
That's fresh as today's headlines.
Boy, I hope Lucy doesn't pull a football away from him and he falls.
You have to admit, it's pretty much the same thing every time.
These are universal struggles, by the way.
Yes.
You don't stop feeling those emotions and going through those experiences just because you're older. We still all relate to Linus and Peppermint Patty and Pigpen and all the other great characters.
You mean we, white man? What have we always said on this show? Don't get anyone's name tattooed on you when you're dating them. Don't do it.
Yeah, that's pretty good advice. What happened?
I wish Black China had thought to listen to us. Last Monday, Black China, you know, she was with Tyga, of course, famously. Now they've split up. But she's dating Future. And so she had Future's name tattooed on her hand.
Does anyone in the story have a name? An actual name?
Yes, Black China and Future.
And Tyga.
And Tyga.
Okay.
Those are names? What's wrong with you?
I didn't know we were using codes.
So they started dating, right? 2 weeks later, she gets Future's name tattooed on her hand.
What could go wrong?
Because it's real. It's true love.
Right.
This time. Future made a statement on Twitter yesterday saying he's single and focusing on what makes me happy. He tweeted, signifying the end of his relationship with Black China, who, as I mentioned before, has his name tattooed on her hand.
Oh, how unfortunate.
Don't do that.
Do not do that.
You know who else is single? Liam from One Direction. He's single.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been dating Sophia Smith for 2 long years, but that is all over now. He is free. He is free for Ally McKay, finally. He's just, the door is open, Ally. Walk through it.
Is he your 1D crush?
Take that direction.
I don't know who he is.
Well, right.
Sounds great.
You'd love him.
Is he the one with like the moppy hair?
He's the one with the hair who sings.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
I think that's all of them, Ralph. I think that doesn't narrow it down.
They
for
do
us.
All have hair.
Oh.
And sing.
And while we're talking about love, love's course doesn't always necessarily run true. Such is the case with Halle Berry and Olivier Martinez.
The best looking couple in the world?
Yeah. After just 2 years of wedded bliss, they have announced they are moving forward. But, of course, because they're celebrities, they are moving forward with love and respect for one another. They will remain the best of friends.
That's great that they can do that.
And their shared focus is what's best for their son.
Sure.
We wish each other nothing but happiness in life. And they're asking for privacy in this very difficult time. Hmm. You know what's a difficult time, I get the sense? Being married to Halle Berry. That's a difficult time.
Well, she spends half the year in space, for starters. You got to deal with that. Because she's up on that spaceship on Extant, and then you can't see her because she's in orbit.
Right, right. Yes.
Okay.
Halle was married to David Justice, famously, then Eric Benet, and then had a daughter with Gabriel Aubrey. And she's a good time. She's a good time. She's a day at the zoo right there. Just feeding peanuts to the pachyderms, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Right?
I mean, I guess what you're really saying, Ralph, and we've had this conversation before, is after your third or fourth marriage fails, there's a common denominator in the story.
That's what I'm saying.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
If you want to change the equation, sometimes you only have control over one number, right?
Mm.
Thank you. Good night, everybody. Get the T-shirt. I'm just saying, maybe not everybody's meant to be married.
Sure. I think that's fair.
Although that Olivier Martinez didn't seem like a box of chocolates either. He seemed like he was a bit of a hothead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I love speculating about strangers.
Me too.
Me too. It's fun, isn't it? That's what this entire segment is. If that goes away, I go away. So let's not knock it. Frank Ocean is 28 as we look at today's celebrity birthdays. Matt Smith, of course, of Doctor Who fame, turns 33. Joaquin Phoenix is 41. Julia Roberts turns 48. There's a Hollywood marriage that seems to be perfect.
Yeah.
Married to cameraman Danny Motor.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone said at the time, oh, she's way too big a star. There's no way that's going to work out together. Apparently, word on the street is, Huggy Bear told me, no one's happier in a marriage than those
two. So far, so good. What? That sounded
sounds like, oh.
What do you mean?
Oh,
I'm just
you know
saying,
something
else?
You know something
her.
We don't know?
No.
You know some secrets?
No.
Some heroin addiction, perhaps? Or
Ellie thinks everyone give is you the addicted down to heroin. Love?
Well, if Allie can't find love, she doesn't want anyone to find love.
It's
I think that's
true.
What's happening here.
It's very true.
Bill Gates is 60. Caitlyn Jenner, she's 66 years old today. And actor Dennis Franz from NYPD
Blue. 71 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I always imagine the day is going to come that Adam Carolla's battery is going to run out. And he's just not going to have anything to say. But so far, that hasn't happened. The podcasts keep coming. The TV shows, the movies. He keeps making the Mangria. It's all still happening. AdamCarolla.com. And the Ace Man himself joins us on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Adam.
Hey, man. It was funny. I had that thought last night. I got into the shower, and I just started thinking about that song for He's a Jolly Good Fellow.
Oh, dear.
Okay. All right. Good. Go on.
A weird thing to think about when you're nude and alone.
Yep. Right.
Being right. Drizzled with tap water. But I thought, for He's a Jolly Good Fellow. And then they just keep going into, which nobody can deny. Which nobody, they keep saying, they keep repeating, nobody can deny this. Nobody, and at a certain point, it sounds like they're protesting too much.
It's like, all right, take it easy.
Like if I said, Kevin's a really good guy. He is. He is. He is. At a certain point, you go, we heard you.
Right. All right.
It just seems like they're protesting too much. They keep screaming, no one can deny this. There should be a verse that says, if anyone denies it, they're out. He's still a jolly good fellow. I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about what happened to all the dandruff shampoo commercials I watched growing up.
Do they not, they don't air those anymore? They don't still run the Head and Shoulders ads? I thought
no,
I still see those
no.
on.
Didn't you spend your entire childhood worrying about?
Oh, terrifying! Dandruff? It was terrifying. Yeah, because you didn't really know what it was. You just knew it was a horrible thing that could happen to you, but you hoped it never did.
I was like, it's either going to be dandruff or the heartbreak of psoriasis. That's what I thought my adult life would be, and now I haven't seen a dandruff commercial in 19 years.
Adam, you should start a podcast in the shower.
I got to electrocute myself.
Where you have all your best ideas. Well, maybe we cured dandruff like we beat polio. Maybe it's just not a thing anymore.
I just remember all those commercials where there was a really hot chick wearing a black tight turtleneck with a nice C cup, and she was out to dinner on her first date, and the guy was like, well, I'd like to have sex with her, but the flakes on the shoulder. Because you know what it's like when there's a busty, hot 26-year-old who's piping hot, but there's a little dust on her shoulders.
You can't.
You're out.
The sweater's out. Coming off in 20 minutes after dessert, but that's a deal breaker.
Listen, let me get some business out of the way here. Adam Carolla's on the line. He's got a bunch of stuff coming up, including a bunch of Mangria signings at Ralph's Supermarkets. That's going to be on Saturday, November 14th. He's going to be all over the place, Torrance, Redondo Beach, Manhattan Beach, and get all the details, times, and locations at AdamCarolla.com. Go out and meet the Ace Man. He also has the Adam Carolla podcast is going to be live December 12th from the Ace Hotel Theater in downtown L.A. You are back together with your old friend Dennis Prager, longtime radio host, conservative radio host Dennis Prager. You guys find a lot of common ground on that podcast, though, right?
Yeah, he's great. You know what he has?
But he's super religious, Adam. How do you get around that? Because that doesn't make any sense to you.
He cannot figure out how I'm an atheist. But he has wisdom, which is something we don't really discuss anymore, just dudes with wisdom. As a matter of fact, I was sort of thinking about why it is we don't like wisdom or we don't herald it as a virtue anymore. And I realize it's because wisdom is another word for old, and we hate old.
Yes. As a society, we hate old. You're right.
So if you have wisdom, thus you're old, thus you have dandruff. Get out of here, Grandpa.
Well, I've been a Dennis Prager fan for years and years and years. This sounds like a fascinating night. Tickets on sale, just $35. AdamCarolla.com. Again, it's on December the 12th. And finally, the Road Hard DVD is out as well. You can see it on Amazon or iTunes, but the hard copies are out. I got mine in the mail a couple weeks ago as a Kickstarter contributor, Adam. Thank you for that.
You are so good in so many ways.
Because I gave you money?
That's the sad part about you, Bean. You have so many good qualities.
I know a lot of people are thinking, I don't want to see Carolla in a movie, but mention some of the very funny people that you got to appear in this thing with you, Adam.
David Alan Grier and Howie Mandel is in this, and Dana Gould is in this, and Phil Rosenthal's in this, and Larry Miller's in this.
Yeah.
Diane Farr's a really great actress.
Jay Moore. I mean, it's a phenomenal cast. Very funny.
Yeah, Jay Moore's in. Yeah, tons of really funny people, so you don't have to worry about me. I'm like the liver, and I wrap myself in bacon. and then everyone likes me.
Was this the last on-screen
which nobody can deny.
You can't deny it. You can't.
Was this the last on-screen appearance of your dog, Adam?
No. Yeah, Molly girl is in heaven now, and it was...
Why do you got to go there, Bean?
Right, Bean?
I'm just saying, it's a nice trip to be able to see sweet Molly that podcast listeners have heard about for her whole life, and there you get to see her in the film.
It's a nice story, which is my wife just said, you know, why don't you put Molly in the film, and... That's how we get rich, by the way. My wife makes suggestions. Like, you need another TV show, and then she leaves. You should write a coffee table book about it, and then she leaves. But she said, you should get Molly in this movie, because she's not going to be around that much longer, and she's really sweet in it at the beginning of the movie. And now I'm glad she's in it. And we had this scene, by the way, where we, not in the movie, but in real life, two nights ago, where we opened up a piece of mail that was like 2 months old, and my daughter started reading it, and it was about the Rainbow Bridge, the vet. Takes your dog out, then sends you a letter saying what a great dog she was.
Right.
Like, thanks for the $89. And she didn't bite at all when we were snuffing her out with that pillow. And my daughter started reading about, you know, she's at the Rainbow Bridge with Nana and Grandpa, and she'll be waiting for you, wagging her tail. And we were all listening. I just looked at my son. He was a heap of tears.
Aww.
And then later on, he told me he was going to be a professional football player. And I thought, one or the other.
Well, get the movie. It is very, very funny. Available everywhere movies are found. It's called Road Hard. Mangria events coming up on Saturday, November 14th. The live show with Dennis Prager on the 12th of December at the Ace Hotel. You can get all the details about this. Plus, catch a contractor on Spike, AdamCarolla.com. Ace, man, we've missed you, my friend. Thanks so much for coming on.
Love you.
Thank you, man. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
We got time for one more showbiz beat with our friend Ralph Garman. And Ralph, I understand you come bearing gifts as well.
I do, because I love our listeners. Unlike some people I could look at.
Wait, what did we do?
He's looking at all of us.
We gave away Bond tickets today. We gave away Clippers tickets today.
I think Sir Sean Connery gave away Bond tickets this
morning. But we provided the airtime to give away lots of good
stuff. He doesn't need your airtime.
Okay.
If he wanted to, he could just bear down and he would come into our brains, all of our brains at the same time.
Well, I feel like he probably could.
He's omniscient.
Yeah.
And omnipotent and omnivorous. Other things with omni in the beginning. I'd like to give away tickets. These have to be some of the toughest tickets to get, I would think, in town right now. Tickets to Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas with Danny Elfman.
Yay!
Happening at the Hollywood Bowl this Sunday. And, come on, what could be better than to see Danny and the orchestra performing all the music from Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas live at the Hollywood Bowl this Sunday? What could be better than seeing that?
Great idea.
How about seeing it in the third Mother Lovin' row?
Wow.
That'd be pretty good.
You might get some Elfman spittle on you. That's what I'm thinking, third row.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Nice.
This is Holly and Broom right there in your face. You're just, what the heck was that spray? Oh, nothing, just a little Elfman on you, that's all. This is Halloween. Boom. Spritz.
He does right? A little, he does a little free DNA there in the third row.
Oh, come on. You got to go with the DNA? Anyway, I want to give them away. One lucky winner. That's all we got. We got one pair of tickets in the third row for Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas with Danny Elfman. So let's make it caller number three. Since the third row. How about that? Caller number three. Make it easy for Beer Mug. Because he can count the three. I know that much.
Mm.
That's how many Uber rides he's given. I know he can count
in his entire career.
His entire career as an Uber driver. So there you go. Boom. That just happened. You know what else just happened? This is kind of sexy. You know the director the designer, Mark Jacobs?
I know the name. I don't know anything about him.
Come on. The ladies love Mark Jacobs. You must own some Mark Jacobs clothing.
I have Mark Jacobs purses. I've got it
coats.
All.
Coats. He does a lot of outerwear
Absolutely.
And stuff, right? This is quite the story from the New York Page Six. Apparently, New York Post, rather, Page Six, he had quite the get-together earlier this week.
Okay.
A drug-fueled 10-person orgy.
No.
was organized by Mark Jacobs, right? Now, here's the thing. Mark had previously been treated for substance abuse, so that raises some questions regarding his sobriety. But more importantly, apparently this date was organized through Grindr.
Oh. So all dudes?
Well, I think Mark. Sure. I think Mark leans that way.
I'm saying, though, if he enough drugs, maybe.
Maybe suddenly.
Is that how it works?
He'd be into a chick.
I love vagina. I'm so high. I need vagina. I think that ever happens?
Maybe.
That must have been a moment of party.
Yeah, I think it was, Kevin. You tell us about it, son.
Oh, yeah. That's how it's done.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Allegedly,
so disturbing.
It included plenty of drugs, plenty of fellas. Mark Jacobs has not denied that the event occurred when asked about it. Good for you, Mark Jacobs. Say it loud, say it proud.
Sure.
So, apparently, in a separate Instagram post, Jacobs posted a shirtless photo of himself with the caption, "Goodbye for now, Grindr." It was fun.
See,
it was fun for group get-togethers, but what really excites me is my work. Yeah, now, sure. next week, suddenly work's not going to seem so important again. Once the hangover wears off. But here's my point of the whole thing. I know I've got tons of gay friends. I am a supporter of gay rights significantly. And I know that it's a hard road to hoe sometimes, even in this day and age, to deal with the prejudice and the hatred sometimes that comes the way to the gay and lesbian and transgender community. But all that being said, a heterosexual dude could not throw together a 10-person orgy with some drugs and given a couple hours' notice. It's just not happening. It's not going on. You're not going to get 10 chicks or guys and couples. Right? You're not just throwing that together on a moment's notice. But gay dudes can do that.
Right?
That's like having a magic wand.
Literally.
You just wave it, and then you get a room full of guys and an 8-ball, and boom, party time.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying, that's power. That's power. With great power comes great responsibility. That's power. That's an advantage that the gay men have over straight men. Just saying. Good on you, Mark Jacobs. Well done. High five.
Mm. Oh.
Wash your hands first, but then a high five.
Ooh.
K-Rock microphones are there.
Wow, that's concerning.
I'm happy to announce and to report that CBS has picked up a full season order for one of my favorite new comedies, the first year comedy Life in Pieces.
Oh, are you watching that too, Will?
I am watching
that
show.
It's so funny, right?
I love that show.
It just happened to be.
Oh, are you watching that?
You sounded like Mark Jacobs at a party.
It just happened right there. I wasn't expecting that to be the name of the show that you read, because I was also pleased to see that news, because I think that's a very funny show.
I do, too, and the cast is just outstanding.
Yeah.
Colin Hanks and Betsy Brandt and Diane Wiest, James Brolin, Tom Sadowski, who you may remember from The Newsroom, was great on that show, also great in this show. I think it's really strong, and CBS feels the same way, so they've given a full season order to that comedy, which is not exactly a pickup, but it is encouraging. Hopefully we'll get to see a second season of Life in Pieces. So
I know that it is very difficult as the fall season begins, and there are so many new shows coming at you, and you just don't have time to even check out
very much
them.
So.
But if you do come across Life in Pieces on, I think it's a Monday night show on CBS?
Yes.
Please give it a try. I think you'll like it.
I agree.
I haven't seen that Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I'm hearing great things about that. Anyone watch that yet?
I have not.
No.
Okay.
I do want to give you a little viewing note here, since Bean mentioned it. Apparently, I'm reading this article a little bit further. Beginning next week, Life in Pieces will start airing immediately after The Big Bang Theory on Thursday nights.
Stoked.
That's pretty good slot right there.
That's a boost, yeah.
CBS has enough belief in it that they're going to put it following Big Bang Theory, so that should certainly benefit their ratings as well. Already they're getting about 10 million viewers an episode, so
wow,
it's pretty strong. And I can't believe I missed this segue, but speaking of Grindr,
right, we'll accept it.
Just think back two stories. Speaking of Grindr, Fox has picked up Rob Lowe's sitcom The Grindr for a full season. So he and Fred Savage have a guaranteed first season, and then they'll have to wait and see if we get a second season, that as well.
That's another real good show.
I haven't picked up. I've got a DVR'd, but I have not seen a new episode of that yet. But I'm looking forward to it. Like both those guys. That show, in comparison, is getting about 4.5 million viewers a week. So not as strong. But what are you going to do, right?
What are you going to do, right?
Who's with me? This war for the Planet of the Apes is shaping up. It's the third, I guess, in the new Planet of the Apes franchise.
I think so.
Andy Serkis, of course, returning. Woody Harrelson has been tapped to play the villain. And that's Steve Zahn added to the cast. You know I love Steve Zahn and everything that he does. But now Sarah Kenning from Hell on Wheels, she has joined the cast as well. So all that going in production. And she'll play a new ape character in the upcoming film. I can't wait for that. I thought the last one was just terrific.
I did too.
Who was that dude who played the good guy human lead in it?
The guy with the darn scar?
It.
That dude?
No.
Yes.
No, the good guy, not the ape guy, the human guy.
Yeah, the human guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The actor.
Right.
That's
what I'm saying.
Is this Dawn of the Planet of the Apes you're talking about?
Yes. Dawn was that the was second one.
The second one.
Brit guy. Terrific guy. He's in a ton of stuff. Always
is
good.
Is it Jason Clark?
Jason Clark. That's it. Yes.
He's terrific.
He's terrific. Gary Oldman, of course, was the bad guy. I love that film. But I love that Jason Clark. I'm going to commit that name to memory now. I like him so much. Let's take a look. Oh, sorry, Bean, you're going to say something?
I was just going to ask Kevin what experience he has with the original Planet of the Apes movies. Because there were so many of them, and they were so fun, but they're also old. So I wondered if you have any room in your life for those.
I don't remember much about
them. You don't have much of a memory of
them? Not much.
Because there were, what, six or seven of them, right, Ralph?
Five?
I feel like there were a bunch.
Five, I want to say.
This has been turns out to be an enduring franchise.
Absolutely. Charlton Heston in that first one. It's a madhouse! Hosed down by that gorilla. And I mean that literally. It was actually a fire hose they were hitting him with. So there's Dr. Zaius. Don't want me to go to the Forbidden Zone.
Was he a good actor?
Define good.
I mean,
he came up in an era where overacting was sort of the norm. That was the sort of standard of the day.
Mm-hmm. It seemed like he was able to disappear into a role.
And roles that he always played were always very larger than life. Played a lot of biblical characters and
Moses and Ben-Hur and people
Andrew
like that.
Andrew Jackson and always large looming figures. But I think he was okay for when he was cast, right? He certainly was in that film.
You don't go to him for subtlety.
No, you would not. For example, do yourself a favor when you have some time and you want to watch something hilarious. Watch the classic Orson Welles film Touch of Evil, where Charlton Heston is cast as a Mexican lawyer.
What?
That kind of casting, not necessarily perhaps Charlton Heston's strong suit. Playing a Mexican lawyer with like a bad drawn-on pencil-thin mustache. And
that sounds pretty good.
I was raised in Guadalajara. It doesn't really pull it off so much. Today's celebrity birthdays. Frank Ocean is 28 years old today. Matt Smith, 33. Loved him on Doctor Who. Joaquin Phoenix is 41. Julia Roberts turns 48 today. Bill Gates is 60. Still giving away all his money, right? Isn't that the plan? Before he dies?
Yes, pretty much.
It's all going to be gone, right?
Yep. Sorry, kids.
I would be steamed if I was a gate. If I was one of the gates, that would be frustrating to me.
I assume they'll get something.
I don't believe that's the plan. I think his net worth.
They have given away billions.
He plans to give it all away before it's all over. That's his plan, is to get rid of all of his net worth.
Yeah, I think he's. I don't think there's more than, hey, we'll send you to college and then you're on your own. I think that's where they're at.
I genuinely think that's the plan. He wants these kids to make it
so
on their own. I don't want to make it on my own, Dad.
I'm so angry. Come on.
That's what America was built on, wealth being passed down from generation to generation.
Just break me off a million. It's nothing to you.
He literally makes that in a couple of hours.
Yeah. While we were doing our show, he made $1 million.
Yeah.
Caitlyn Jenner, 66 years old today, and actor Dennis Franz from NYPD Blue is 71 years old today. I remember that time on the red carpet when Kevin was talking to Dennis Franz.
Nope.
We remember
that at all.
When you were coming up, the first we said, "What should we ask Dennis Franz?"
What?
We said, "I'm trying to figure out how to ask this in a nice way. Maybe I better just not ask it. We're going to talk about your ass some more, but maybe we won't. Any more nakedness on your part on NYPD Blue coming up this year?
I hope not.
At least Kevin didn't give up. He was going to get a question out about Dennis Franz's ass if it killed him.
And then I said, I'm not gonna.
Right.
And then I followed that up with it.
Immediately with a question about him being naked.
You're drunk.
Right. I think if Dennis Franz knew Kevin was going to be starring on Wicked City, he would have been. He would treat him with a little bit more respect from one thespian to another. Because that would be called Wicked City last night. But our boy Kevin, playing the radio DJ, pretty much stole the show.
I got to tell you, I am loving that new record and can't wait to see those boys live. Now I've got Foreigner. This is Feels Like the First Time for Emily F., and it's from her secret environment.
They did do their best to cover it up, right?
This is really, I'm looking forward to it. But I could feel how much you were looking forward to seeing that band live. I could sense it with that.
Oh, the passion. The passion comes across in that broadcast.
You bring it to life.
I just think you're terrific.
Suck it, Dennis Franz.
Greg Grunberg will be on the program tomorrow.
That's the showbiz beat. I'm not.
Oh, sorry. Greg Grunberg will be on the show tomorrow talking about Kamikaze, among other things. We also have Spectre tickets. We've got your tickets to see the Clippers. We have Jim Rome talking sports and our weekly visit from Dr. Drew tomorrow morning.